జయ విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శిర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. తిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శిర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన ధామ్కి, మాయాపురధామ్కి, మధురపురిధామ్కి, జగన్నాథ్పురిధామ్కి, ద్వారకాపురిధామ్కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసీదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గోర్ ప్రేమనంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమోష్ణపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూగరే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సారస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశదారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కృతిదాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణి భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసందధామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే విల్లారవిందాయనపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక బాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుర్గా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్ఘోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంస చ నూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రతజలా గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగేసరం హరిగద సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరహప్యదీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్భారత పంకజక్కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయితే గిరిం యత్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగవదై క్రమౌపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. అమానిత్వమదంబిత్వం అహింసా శాంతిరార్జవం ఆచార్యోపాసనం శౌచం స్థైర్యం ఆత్మవినిగ్రహ ఇంద్రియార్థేషు వైరాగ్యం అనహంకారమేవ చ జన్మ మృత్యుజరా వ్యాధి దుఃఖదోషానుదర్శనం. కృష్ణ సేస్ ఫ్రమ్ ఇన్ ద ఫస్ట్ వర్స్ ద సెవెంత్ వర్స్ హీ స్పోక్ అబౌట్ ది నైన్ సాధన ప్రాసెసెస్. దే ఆర్ ఆల్ జ్ఞాన సాధనాస్. నైన్ జ్ఞాన సాధనాస్ వర్ స్పోకన్ దేర్ అండ్ a devotee who has these nine qualification, nine qualities, as he spoke in that verse, this will be present in him in a natural way. He will have this naturally in him, these nine things: amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, chandi, arjavam, acharyavasanam, shaujam, sthairyam, atmavinigraham. These nine things will naturally be there in a devotee. And with the result was that the ahankaram goes away, and in bhakti a small change that is necessary and make that change of bhavam inside of a devotee, this sadhana process will become very easy. So, normally people think, Krishna is mine. Krishna is my Lord, or I surrender to Krishna, I take Krishna's shelter, right? So, if you change that thinking, relationship from there, that Krishna is yours, instead if you start thinking, I belong to Krishna, I am Krishna's, that is a better situation. If you start thinking that you are, instead of thinking Krishna is yours, thinking that you are Krishna's, that relationship will be far superior. And bhakti will develop much better that way. So, to remain as Krishna's child is, then you become totally free from all responsibility. If you become Krishna's child, you belong to Krishna. Krishna is maintaining you. Krishna is managing you. If you are able to think like that, that makes a lot easier, in the sense that a childish nature, that you are being protected by Krishna. So, it is whichever Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita also, whichever way you approach me, accordingly I respond. So, all these things what we talked about in that verse, amanitvam adambitvam, basically you can see that in the Ramayanam also, this same thing comes in a different way. So, Ramachandra, Lakshmana, they came to Krishyamukachalam, where Sugriva was taking shelter away from Bali. So, Sugriva initially sent Anjaneya to Ramachandra to talk to them and find out what their intentions are, why they have come, things like that. Sugriva wanted to know all that. Basically, this Sugriva represents a jiva in this world, right? All of us are like Sugrivas, right? Many symptoms of a jiva, you will find that in Sugriva, a symptom, nature of a jiva, right? So, what is the nature of a jiva? Jiva doesn't have much faith in the Ishvara. He does not have the faith, right? And he has some faith, but not sufficient faith that Ishvara is maintaining everybody. That realization is not there for a jiva. So, and the jiva will always wants to verify whether Ishvara is real or Ishvara has got the power, as it is spoken in the Shastram, right? So, you remember Sugriva wanted to test Ramachandra. Sugriva wanted to test Ramachandra. That's why the Saptasalam tree, seven trees, they were present there. And there was a test for Ramachandra. And Ramachandra won in that test. And then again, a huge head was lying there of a buffalo or something. And he asked Ramachandra to check whether Ramachandra is really powerful. Wanted Ramachandra to kick that with his feet and see if he is strong enough. So, in the same way, the jiva's nature is like that. Jiva doesn't have faith in the Krishna's power or Ramachandra's power. Even the jiva's nature is like that. Jiva will have a lot of problems in life, different types of problems, and he will pray to Krishna for help, and that way if help comes from Krishna, he will accept it. the help doesn't come, then he will start doubting, is Krishna capable of giving me shelter? This way. A jiva's relationship with Krishna is like that, right? So these are all symptoms of an ordinary jiva. And you can see that in Sugriva. These kind of things, what a normally a jiva does in this world, it's a relationship which is not very firm. It is a relationship based on a business exchange. If Krishna can do this for me, then I'll be faithful to him. But otherwise, he's not 100% convinced that Krishna is maintaining everybody. So, and similarly, jiva also will tell lies. That's also nature. And another thing is that one must remember is that before this body was born, prarabdham was there. It is from prarabdham the body has come. Right? So, that is why Mahalpas, great personalities, they will say this, that because it has come from prarabdham, this body has come from prarabdham, and I have taken shelter of Ramachandra, Tulsidas says like this, right? So what it means is that initially the prarabdham has already been settled from where the body has come. That means when the prarabdham was decided, all that is going to happen to the body later is already decided. When the prarabdham is settled, because certain amount of prarabdham, Antaryami will decide, will take the shape of a body, and then the body will have to go through that prarabdham in that body, right? So initially prarabdham was created, and it is after that the body has been created. First the prarabdham was created, and then the body was created from the prarabdham, right? So therefore the message is, as far as maintaining this body is concerned, we should not be overly concerned about it. The reason being, it's already settled. Prarabdham is already settled, and that's what's going to happen. And to think that this is because of that avidya inside us, we start thinking that I have to maintain this body, a lot of responsibility, we take it on our shoulders. Right? So therefore Mahalpa's great devotees like Tulsidas, Yagaraj and all that, they will always say like this, that that's why they were very very indifferent to material life. Their approach is like that. They are different than us. People, ordinary people believe that we have to work hard and make a good living, and if I don't work hard, things won't happen and things like that. That's not how pure devotee sees that. They are seeing like this. Prarabdham is already settled everything. This body has come after the prarabdham. Prarabdham was originally settled down. And in that prarabdham, whatever that is allotted to me, I'll get it. And whatever I'm not going to get it, I won't get it, if it is not in the prarabdham. So because they know that very well, they are very hesitant to engage in karma of making a living, earning a livelihood. These are all subtle things in the shastram, which we may not easily understand initially, because we come from the world of karmam. Karmam, jnanam, these two things, this relationship we should know very well. Otherwise it is difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita. That is why Krishna is saying in the beginning itself, jnana yogena sanghyanam, karma yogena yoginam. What is that connection between jnanam and karmam? The way we see karmam, the way Krishna sees karmam is totally different. We take karmam as our main engagement. We come to this world, straight away we jump into this karmam. How much damage it's creating, we have no idea about karmam, because we have no clear understanding of these things in life. Come to that later. So, what is this prarabdham here? Sugriva's previous life. So, even he was, before he was born, his prarabdham is already there, right? So, what does prarabdham does to a person? What prarabdham does is, wherever the jiva is going, and he prarabdham will follow him. Whatever jiva does, prarabdham is with him, and it will catch him wherever he is, right? And he won't be able to escape from the prarabdham. If you leave one place and think that if I go to somewhere else, I will escape from prarabdham, it won't happen, right? So, so whatever that has to come from prarabdham, and that will come in life. That will definitely come, right? So, and that, the prarabdham here, like in Sugriva's case, Bali is like prarabdham. He won't leave him. Wherever he goes, he will chase him, right? But, and he will beat him. Bali will beat Sugriva. And Sugriva cannot fight with Bali. He's not strong enough. So Sugriva was trying to escape from Bali, but he couldn't. Only thing was that he knew that Bali cannot come to Krishyamogachalam, and therefore he came and took shelter there. Right? So, what is that saying in Ramayanam? It's saying that if you come and listen in front of the rishis, and if you are able to hear from the rishis, that is why the name itself is Rishi Mogachalam, then if you keep on hearing about that tattvam from them, and if you stay in their association, then prarabdham will not come in there. Sugriva's prarabdham was Bali. Bali has no entry there. So Ramayana tattvam is more important. Ramayanam, katha is there in Valmiki's Ramayanam. Katha is in Valmiki's Ramayanam. Katha is not the important thing. The adhyalpa vidya behind that. So he knew very well that if he leaves Rishimogajalam, Sugriva knew that Bali will catch him. The story is, the principle is that if you stay in the association of the rishis, you won't be hit by the prarabdham in the form of Bali. So once you leave that salsangam, prarabdham will catch you again, right? So it is because of that in Rishimogachalam, Sugriva stayed there with the support of Anjaneya. And Anjaneya knew and Sugriva knew that Bali won't come there. So when does that prarabdham finishes ultimately for Sugriva, right? When he made that connection with Ramachandra. When that connection happened with Ramachandra, he became free from that effect of prarabdham, right? So salsangam gradually lift a person to bring him closer to Krishna, closer to Krishna, right? So, so salsangam, what can do is, for a jiva, ultimately, to bring him down from his karma, that karma vasana in him, right? And able to take away all the three karma from him. One level you can say that the prarabdham, agamam, sanchidam, three types of karma, like jagrat, sopnam, sushupti, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. These things have a strong grip in our life, and that is all affecting in the prarabdham. So here you can see that when Ramachandra and Lakshmana came there, that Anjaneya carried them on his shoulders. One side Ramachandra, another side Lakshmana. And it is an important incident in Ramayanam that Anjaneya takes the form of a brahmachari, brahmana brahmachari, and he goes to see Ramachandra and Lakshmana there, and he speaks to Ramachandra who he is, introduces himself, says, "I am Anjaneya, Sugriva's secretary or minister or whatever he was," right? And without any hesitation he spoke everything, and he also told Ramachandra that I am the son of Anjana, mother's name, and Sugriva is there in the Krishimogachalam, and I am his minister, and also he has come to take Ramachandra and Lakshmana to Sugriva. This Anjaneya Swami says to Ramachandra, right? So Ramachandra and Lakshmana asked Sugriva, Anjaneya, who are you? And then Lakshmana understood who he is, and Lakshmana explains about everything, and Anjaneya getting ready to take them to Rishamukachala. Lakshmana says, why should we come there? Why don't he come to us? Why do we have to go and see him, right? Let Sugriva come down. Why do I have to climb all the way to the mountain, right? So Anjaneya gives some justification for that Sugriva's particular situation, and for a many, many lifetimes, this jiva called Sugriva has by his own effort in spiritual life, he has made some progress. Who? Sugriva. Sugriva has made some progress in spiritual path, right? Now, a stage has come in, Sugriva has come to a stop now. He's not able to grow further spiritually, right? So, Anjaneya has discussion with Lakshmana about this. A devotee comes to you and taking your shelter. And sometimes devotees are in a difficult situation that they cannot go further. They cannot make any further progress in spiritual path. So when that situation comes, Krishna has to take the initiative to go to the devotee. Because devotee cannot do anything anymore. He is finished. He doesn't have any more strength, spiritual strength, to make any further progress, right? So, a stage has come in Sugriva's life, he is not able to execute any more sadhana. Neither he has the bhakti, nor he has the knowledge, nor he has the karma nishta, right? None of them Sugriva has got in his situation. So, therefore, Anjaneya says to Lakshmana, that unless you show some mercy to him, he cannot do anything further in life, right? And I have come to connect you both. And that sakyam, that relationship, I'll have to do that, he said. And therefore, you have to come to the top of the hill. He won't come down. Jiva cannot, he cannot come down anymore. Because he doesn't have the qualifications for that. Yeah. So, in this way, there is a discussion between Anjaneya Swami and Lakshmana about going to Krishamukachalam from there. So, Lakshmana asked him that, how are we going to climb all this top hill? And the hill is very steep as well, right? So, that mountain is known for that. Anjaneya says to them that, I will take you both. And then the question came, where should they sit? Should they sit on the shoulder or should they sit on the hip? Like the mothers carry the babies on the hip, you have seen that. So, nowadays this has come, so the mothers don't have to carry. But Anjaneya's question was that, where should you sit? Should you sit on the hips or should you sit on the shoulder? Right? So this is what the Bhakti Siddhantam is. Siddhantam is this, that if our mind is important for us, right, Krishna is ours. Just like mother carries the child, it's my child, right? So, and I am the enjoyer and he is the enjoyed. That's that relationship between Krishna and the devotee. When the devotee is thinking that Krishna is mine, it's a very subtle thing. If you think about it, you will understand the difference, the subtleness of these two relationships. When a devotee thinks that Krishna is mine and deal with Krishna in that way, I am the enjoyer, Krishna is the enjoyed. On the other hand, if you think you are Krishna's, I am Krishna's child, in that case, responsibility is on Krishna. Right? So, normally our tendency is to, I want to become the enjoyer and Krishna is to be enjoyed. Right? So, instead of that, if you change the other way, Krishna is the enjoyer, I am being enjoyed by Krishna. Krishna is sheltering me, Krishna is looking after me. If this relationship comes, then that will be a better one. Because as long as we have this ahangaram inside, we will prefer the other one. We'll prefer the other one. Right? So there is a discussion between Ramachandra and Anjaneya there, right? And Ramachandra will accept both, but whether to sit at the hips or whether he sit on the shoulders, right? So at that time, Anjaneya says to Ramachandra, that good fortune Dasharatha and Kausalya had of carrying you on the hips. But that let them do that. I don't want that, Anjaneya says to Ramachandra. Right? And if I take care of you, keeping you on my hips, then it is my responsibility to take care of you both. Right? And they are free then. Children are free. If your mother is responsible when she carries the child on the hips, the mother is responsible, right? So he is saying that when you get hold of somebody, right, the person whom you are holding, that person is under your care. And that means he is free, the child is free, and you are responsible. So that's like you can see when people walking, when they carry the dog, right, on the reins, they take that dog, right. We think that the person is independent. Actually, the person is not independent. The dog is free to walk, and the man is following, whoever is holding the reins, right. So in the dog's mind, he is free. The dog doesn't want to walk with you, actually. Dog wants its freedom. But if you take away the rope and let the dog go free, he will go. He wants to enjoy his life also. But we have taken this responsibility on our shoulder, thinking that I have to look after the dog, and it's my dog, and I get attached to the dog. In that way, because of that, what happened? You became bound by the dog. Because you have taken that role, therefore everything, you have to be conscious about the dog, you have to look after the dog. And so, actually, you are the slave, and the dog is free. Even though mistakenly we think that the dog is in dog is my slave and I am the owner. In reality, the dog is free and you are the slave of the dog's life. So when Anjaneya asked this question to about taking Ramachandra and Lakshmana to Rishimogachalam from there, right? Very intelligently, it is a symptom of Anjaneya's intelligence or brilliance that Anjaneya said that, no, I will not take you on my hips. Rather, I will take you on my shoulders, right? And if you are sitting on my shoulders, I have to move according to your direction, how you tell me to go. I will prefer that relationship. In that way, Anjaneya spoke to Ramachandra and Lakshmana there. So, it is like a person riding a horse. When he decides, he can stop the horse. Horse stops. When he wants the horse to move, the horse will move in that way. So, the person who is riding the horse, he has the responsibility then. So, in bhakti also, there are relationships which is sometimes we may not fully understand, right? It is a knowledge of that relationship in bhakti. So Anjaneya says to Ramachandra, both of you are sitting on my shoulders, right? And you will see that Anjaneya's dedication and Anjaneya's surrender to Ramachandra and Lakshmana and carrying them to the Rishimogachalam mountains, if you say the whole Ramayanam story to a child and you talk to him about Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Sita Devi, everybody, Anjaneya, Sugriva, Bali, all, and you ask the child, whom do you like? They will say they like Anjaneya more than anybody else, right? So this Anjaneya's heart, freedom from ego, no ahangaram inside, right? And totally unselfish, selfless he was, right? Never thought about himself anymore, any time. And therefore, he is always very powerful because of that surrender to Ramachandra, right? So, because there is no ahangaram inside, he is so powerful that he is more powerful than one who is giving instructions, because that is the strength in Anjaneya's strength, right? One who is getting controlled, he is more powerful than the one who is controlling him. And Bharata also mentions that in Ramayanam, right? He says to Ramachandra, when Bharata wanted Ramachandra to come back to Ayodhya, he says to him that whoever gets controlled and lives in this world under the control, he is the one actually more freedom he has got. Just like in big companies, you can see someone who is doing a type of work at the lowest level, he has more freedom. He doesn't have all the responsibility on his head. Whereas the managing director or the chief executive or the top bosses, right, they are always concerned about the future of the company. Even though they may be drawing a lot of money, that the weight on their shoulders is too much. So therefore, basically you can see the Maya works like that. People who have taken the very high responsibility, they are actually more controlled by the pressures of life and the heavy weight on their shoulders. Whereas the one who has least involvement in life with the world, he is more free to do what he wants, right? So Bharata says to Ramachandra that I don't want the position of the king of Ayodhya, and you should come and sit in the throne. And You can tell me what I should do. Bharata says to Ramachandra, I will still do that and I will sit wherever you want me to stay. Right? And you instruct me and I will follow you. This was Bharata's request to Ramachandra. So in bhakti, this approach is good. That Sharanagati means that you follow Krishna's instructions, not telling Krishna what to do and what you want and what you don't want and what's your choice, your preferences and your plans. Instead of taking that approach to Krishna, if you leave that all to Krishna and let Krishna decide and Krishna dictate everything and let things happen in that way, this is surrender. So it makes the Sharanagati clear. If you have to look at the attitude of Bharata, attitude of Anjaneya, you will learn from them the secret of bhakti. Bhakti is like that. Bhakti means accepting what Krishna is giving to us in life. And not always saying to Krishna, this is how I would like it to be. Right? So, if you do like that, that you realize this relationship with Krishna in this way, you understand that you are recognizing Antaryami then. You are accepting the Antaryami's position there. Antaryami, who is Antaryami? Kshetrajna, whom we were talking about, right? And who are we? We are the Ahangaram. So Ahangaram has to surrender to Antaryami. Ahangaram cannot accept Antaryami to support Ahangaram's plan. Ahangaram has to go along with Antaryami's plan or Kshetrajna's plan, right? Till self-realization happens, this Ahangaram will be there in us, right? And till the complete self-realization happens, right? And even after self-realization, when he engages in Vyavaharam, even at that time, Ahangaram could come there. But that Ahangaram at that time is in a very matured stage. Ahangaram in a matured stage, right? That is the difference. For example, a realized soul also, in for Vyavaharam purposes, right? And he will keep a small Ahangaram for doing his Vyavaharam in this world. And that's why in Vedantam they will say that if you burn a rope, the form will be there, but you cannot use it for any purpose, to tie anything. It's already burned. But it will stay in the particular form of the rope. Similarly, Dagdharaju, that's the word they have used. Dagdharaju. Raju means the rope. Dagdha means when it's already burnt, right? So it is like that. The devotee also sometimes Ahangaram will be there for him. And that Ahangaram may be due to bhakti, bhakti inside. And the jnani will have an Ahangaram due to jnanam. So he is conducting his vyavaharam with the power of this Ahangaram. He is conducting his vyavaharam in this world, right? Just like with pure gold, you cannot manufacture jewelry, pure gold. You cannot manufacture jewelry. So therefore they will add some copper to it. Similarly, in bhakti, if your Ahangaram has become very matured, right? And just like devotees, Dasya Bhavam, Yandram Yandri. You become the Yandram, Krishna is the Yandri, who operates that. And instead of keeping all the responsibility on our head, right? If you hand it over to Krishna and recognize Krishna's responsibility, in that way, and that is why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying these things to us. Pidaham asya jagato, madha dhada pidamaha, vedyam pavitra mangayam, vriksama yajurevaja, gadurbharta prabhu sakshi, nivasa sharanam sukharat, prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijam avyayam. Krishna is saying that to us, that I am that, surrender your ahankaram in such a way that I am in control. So Krishna is going to talk about bhakti now in the next verses, right? So in, is a preface to that, in advancement of that, right? One who surrenders to Krishna completely, sharanagati happens, and understands bhakti, or that samarpana buddhi, total surrender nature, right? He is free. He is completely free, right? So, just like if you have father and mother, then the child becomes, feels very sheltered. Child feels protected, right? When you aren't, if the child cries, when he's in difficulty, the parents will take care of him, the child, right? So, here, Krishna's point is that whatever struggle comes in life, right, there is only him who is actually capable of giving a shelter or protection, Antaryami. So, you have to think about Antaryami in a form, whichever you like, in a Murti form, and you can speak to him, right, or pray to him. So, that is Bhakti Sadhana. Bhakti Sadhana means that able to converse with Antaryami. Of all your problems in life, whatever difficulties you are feeling, the fear of life, fear of death, all kinds of problems what we are daily experiencing in life, one should speak to the Antaryami inside, right? So, it may appear though that this is an unusual situation, but you can see people are now, we are talking about talking to Antaryami, right? People now with the mobile phone, you have seen, they'll be talking and walking in the road. Nobody takes it anymore. Initially, when they started that, it was looking very funny that people are walking in the street talking and nobody is there, they're just talking. Then later on, you realize that they are talking to somebody on the mobile. So that's how it is it not? So instead of talking on the mobile to your friend, you say that you're talking to Antaryami. Whatever problems you have, you talk to him instead of talking to somebody else, right? So, and people won't misunderstand it anymore, right? So he is the best listener. Antaryami is the best listener, right? So, but only thing is, Antaryami won't answer you directly, straight away. Right, and in a indirectly he will answer all the difficulties in life. Right, Mahatma Gandhi also used to talk about this. Right, he used to say that that's what is called intuition. It will come as an intuition. How it comes, you don't know. It is coming from inside a direction. Right, so and many of what in Gandhiji's autobiography you will see. How many decisions he made is purely out of intuition. He had been discussed talking to Antaryami, and Antaryami from inside was giving instructions to him to go in a particular direction, right? Satyagraham and all that, right? So everything has come from Antaryami, right? So they say that when you speak, he listens, it's prayer. And when he speaks and then you listen, it's meditation. So, when Krishna starts speaking, right, and we will become, we will start hearing it, we'll start understanding that it's coming from Krishna. Krishna is telling us, so, he is a Kshetrajna inside and he looks at all our movements, right? So it is not unnatural among devotees to talk to the deity whom they are worshipping, whether it is Ramachandra or Krishna or Shiva or Devi, whoever it may be, right? So, and one devotee said that, many devotees have written this and put it in writing, or what they have done and spoke to the deities they have worshipped, right? Ramalinga Swami said that in the world, I have my father and mother. If father beats me up, mother will give me, console me. Or if mother beats me up, father will console me. But for me, as my father and mother, if you leave me, where will I go? One of his famous prayers like that. This is all devotees' relationship with Krishna. In different devotees, how they have related with Krishna, right? He says to him that, if father, normal life, if father gives me problem, mother will protect me. If mother gives me problem, father will protect me. But for me now, neither father, mother is there, both are you. You are my both, father as well as mother. And if you deal with me harshly, where will I go? He says to him, right? So, therefore, don't beat me anymore. He prays to him, right? What is beating means? Beating means the distress that comes in life, right? There is no point in blaming anyone in this world. Because everyone in this world is fighting the same battle of how to survive here, right? In this way, the only person who is free from all distress is Antaryami, Krishna inside. So in this way, are offering everything to Krishna, and if this approach comes in, then every time when a distress comes in life, learn the art of handing over that distress to Krishna. That Krishna has given it to me, I am not responsible, he wants me to go through this, and in that way, bhakti sadhana will become more mature, right? And you become free that way. Even when the distress comes in life, right, able to offer it to Krishna, saying that it is you who want, you have given it to me, I will accept it in that way. So, it is that freedom, what you get from that, able to hand over everything to Antaryami or Kshetrajna, that is what Krishna is talking about in the 15th chapter, Purushottama Yogam. Purushottama Yogam is all about this. So, internally Jnana Yogam, in Vyavaharam Sharanagati, that is how it works, right? So, able to recognize Krishna's presence inside, as Antaryami inside, that is Jnana Yogam. And in order that the distress in this world, while doing Vyavaharam in this world, lot of distress will come, that distress don't hit you, affect you, for that, Sharanagati. And internally established in the self, thinking whom you are, understanding that. And outwardly, according to what Antaryami is dictating, you move in this world, do what you have to do, right? Whichever way he keeps you going in this world, how he controls you in your life, that accepting that. So that bhavam in the heart is important, right? Inside he is a Kshetrajna, and Kshetrajna, he is keeping this body going, right? Operates the body, operates the mind, and operates intelligence, and in the different thoughts comes in our intelligence, making decisions, right? And he controls our ego also, ahangaram inside, and gives us happiness and distress at different times. And all these things, Krishna summarized that in the Bhagavad Gita. He put that in those two verses. Ishvara sarvabhudanam kriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. This is what in that verses he is talking about. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata il prasadalasyam shantim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. So those two verses, what does it mean actually? We just read the verses translation purport. He is doing this. No, there is a bhavam behind it. That bhavam is more important. The bhavam is this, that the jiva when he takes shelter of Krishna. Jiva when he takes shelter of Krishna, the relationship changes for a jiva with Ishvara. Relationship for a jiva with Ishvara changes. So these two verses, Krishna's point position is this, point is this, that if Sharanagati is performed, or that Bhagavad Bhavam, Kriddhe Brahmanas Yantrarudhani Maya, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharata, that Bhavam, Sarva Bhavam, right? Through Bhakti, come to that stage, to come to the realization of perfection in Jnananishtha or self-realization, right? For that's what he is saying there. Talprasadal param shandim sthanam prapsesi shashvatam, it says, right? So this bhakti towards Krishna explained in those two verses is the perfection of this Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. Kshetra, Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. Krishna is a Kshetrajna inside, right? Kshetrajna is inside as the Andaryami, another word. Similarly, Akshara Purusha inside. That's in the Purushottama Yogam, he is called as Akshara Purusha, right? And gradually realizing that, conscious of that Andaryami or Kshetrajna or Akshara Purusha inside, and with that awareness, able to spread that into others as well, right? And when he starts seeing that in others, it's Parabhakti. So, Sarvatra Bhagavad Darshanam, in everywhere, this presence of Andaryami presence in everyone. That's the Parabhakti stage. So, sadhana bhakti will take you to jnanam, and jnanam will take you to Parabhakti later times. So, what we do as sadhana bhakti, like japam, dhyanam, puja, tirthayatra, all these things, eventually it will help us to become aware of that bodham, that Andaryami's presence inside. That's what it will lead to. If all the sadhana is executed properly, japam, dhyanam, puja, or pilgrimage, and things, whatever we are doing in the sadhana stage, eventually what it will lead to is to start recognizing Andaryami inside. Right? And Andaryami is our swarupam. So even if you have that swarupa darshanam, if you have come to become aware of that, still, when you enter into vyavaharam in this world, it will definitely create ragadvesham. Ragadvesham will still come, right? Other problems will also happen, right? And when that problems comes, even though you have realized the Andaryami is present inside, still when you go into vyavaharam, there will be ragadvesham in there. And so in vyavaharam is the testing ground of spiritual life. In vyavaharam, how our dealings, we are able to do it without ragadvesham, right? And if you are able to maintain that shandi inside, that means the spiritual life is making progress, right? So in vyavaharam also, if you are experiencing that shandi, Krishna is saying that samam pashyati sarvatra. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra, sarvatra samadarshinam. As he mentioned in the, Krishna is going to say that in the 6th chapter, right? Or in the 18th chapter. So that itself is the parabhakti stage. So it is for that parabhakti to get there, is the sadhana what he is talking about now. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa kshandirarjavam ആചാര്യോഭാഷണം, ശ്രൗചം, സ്ഥൈര്യം, ആത്മവിനിഗ്രഹം. ഓൺലി ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് ദിസ് സാധന, ദിസ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ലിസ്റ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ്, ഓൺലി ദെൻ അനുഭൂതി ഓർ റിയലൈസേഷൻ വിൽ ബിക്കം കംപ്ലീറ്റ്, റൈറ്റ്? അതർവൈസ്, സൈ ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ, ഇഫ് യു ഡു എ ലിറ്റിൽ ബിറ്റ് ഓഫ് സാധന അറ്റ് ഹോം, മെഡിറ്റേഷൻ ഓർ പ്രാണായാമം, പീപ്പിൾ വിൽ സേ ദാറ്റ് I have experienced some light inside, or felt some experience inside, some kind of experience, right? But these techniques like japam, dhyanam and all other things, right, it won't bring shanti inside. That is the point Krishna is making here, right? Little bit of illumination you may have inside, but again what will happen is you will come back to the body again. You won't become freedom from the body, won't happen. So in order to become free from the body, only if you become free from the body, in your vyavaharam you will be able to maintain that shanti, if you have become free from the body. So Krishna is saying that these sadhanas, what Krishna has spoken here, is that sadhana meant for changing the ahangaram. Changing the ahangaram. That's why they are important. That other sadhanas, what you do, won't be as effective as this sadhana, what is listed here, what he is going to talk about it, right? So, that is the important thing, right? This aham buddhi, ahankaram inside, to make, to free us from that, right? And similarly the mind, I try very hard but it is not able to control the mind, right? So this mind, different devotees have spoken differently about the mind. Mind is compared to monkey sometimes. And it has to be tied with the rope of bhakti and hand it over to Parameshwara, Ishwara, to manage it, right? This Acharya Swami is one prayer where he says that, he says to Lord Shiva that, I have got a nice monkey inside, I'll hand him over to you. And you take this monkey and go for your bhiksha, and everybody will give you bhiksha, he said. So, therefore, these are normal ways of great devotees' prayers to explain to us ahankaram, mind, how they will not, which normally won't come under control, right? Let this monkey do all the jumping up and down, and you will have your bhiksha from homes, right? So, in this way, one way of doing this is that to hand over the mind to Krishna. And so, bhakti jnana sadhana, that's what Krishna is going to say, indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankaram evacha janmam mrityu jaravyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam. Next verse, right? So, you can see our mind itself, right? Any amount of time we hear this, that topics related to mundane things shouldn't be listened to, but still mind will run after that. That is the nature of the mind. Just like in the mirage or in the desert, you see the water far away. When you go there and you look for the water, it's not there. Otherwise, there is always water. You feel there is water there. It's just a thought in the mind. If I go there, I'll get water to drink, but there is no water. Similarly, in life also, if I start thinking that there is happiness in life, it's a false concept. There is happiness in this world, right? If I get trapped in that, then it's very difficult to come out of it. That there is some happiness in this world to enjoy, there is something left here, right? So Krishna is saying there that the sarvabhudaya, right? Give me compassion to all other living entities, right? And the sadhana required for that is the next verse, the ninth verse, right? So here you will see here that because of birth, we have got all other problems. Old age, disease, death. Three things. Jananam is responsible for maranam, vyadhi, and jara. So, here says that janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam janma cha mrityu cha jara cha vyadhaya cha dukkhani cha teshu janmadi dukkhandeshu pratyegam doshanu darshanam janmani garbhavasa yoni dwara nisaranam doshaha tasya anudarshanam alochanam tadha mrityu doshanu darshanam. So Krishna is saying that these two lines, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam, thinking about it always, right? And it, similarly, this dukkham is the dosham, right? And one should see this from birth onwards. Jananam dukkham mrityu jara vyadhi, everything is dukkham. And then, if you see it like that, dukkha dosham, if you see it like that, what will happen is, your attachment to body, senses, sense objects, and the desire of the results of the karma, these things will leave us. That is why Krishna is saying that. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam, he is saying, for this purpose, that our connection with the body, as we said in the beginning, that if we don't loosen up our connection with the body at a certain stage in life, and if we hold on to body very strongly, and then trying to study Bhagavad Gita, it will not work. Bhagavad Gita is expecting us also to take the necessary steps in life to loosen up our connection with the body, senses, mind, and the world. All these things are required. It's absolutely essential, it is. We may not succeed in that 100%, but if we don't follow that route, you are not listening to Bhagavad Gita then. Just remembering a lot of verses and reciting is not good enough. That's okay for lecture purposes. But strictly speaking, Krishna's point is that this message should sink inside, and it should also make necessary adjustments what is possible for us. And unless we have clear directions on this, we won't do it. And therefore Krishna is giving the clear directions, this sadhana process. Indriyarteshu vairagyam. Vairagyam is the goal. With vairagyam, without vairagyam, it won't happen. He's saying, anahangaram evacha, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So if this janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam is there, then Krishna is saying that vairagyam will come to you. What from what? From body, mind, senses, the world outside, and you become little bit more disconnected, more loosened up from that. Apart from that, he is saying here in the next verse, asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachittatvam ishta anishtopapattishu. I know we may not like it, but that is the reality. He is saying here, asakti sakti sanga nimitteshu pridhi matram tadbhava asakti. Wife, children home, in there as much as possible, minimize it, the asakti, attachment, and able to create that samachittattva, equality in mind, anabhishvangam. What is anabhishvangam means? Anabhishvangam means the separately from me, nothing else exists. That sakti is called abhishvangam. In other words, suppose somebody else is becoming happy or distressed in life, right? It is affecting you. Someone else's happiness and distress is affecting you. In that case, and you start thinking, I am suffering, because somebody else has got suffering and happiness. According to his or her prarabdham, it's coming. And if it is affecting you, and when he or she is living happily in this world, you feel you are happy in this world. This bhava, that's what this anabhishvanga means. Abhishvanga bhavaha, abhishvangam nama shakti vishesham. And where will that happen normally? It will happen at home, wife, children, and closely related people like that. That's where this anabhishvangata comes from, right? So this anasakti, anabhishvangata, these two are important for the knowledge to build up inside. Otherwise, spiritual knowledge won't come inside. Asakti, this in these things, what Krishna says, you have to just accept it. If he is saying things like this, it may not be very to our liking completely, but unfortunately, Krishna is saying that if all I am saying in about this self-realization, knowledge of the self, and to elevate oneself into that state of self-realization, Krishna's point is that anabhishvangata is necessary. So that anabhishvangata, or mostly it is from, where will that come from? Putradhara grihadishu. Putradhara grihadishu. And therefore he calls it as jnana sadhana, all of that, right? Nityanja samachittatvam ishtanishtova patishu, right? Always that equal mind. In other words, we are happy whatever comes in life, one way or the other, right? And sometimes repeatedly distress comes, one after the other, and able to maintain your shanti inside, right? Whereas when you are feeling very happy, when what you wanted, you like something and you got it, you feel very happy. And you got something which you didn't want it and it came in. And then you get upset with that. But not getting affected like that is samachittatvam. Right? And then he said these things. Right? So here there is few things to talk about. In the Mahabharatam, what happened was that Krishna spoke about Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. It is in the Mahabharatam. So, the Rajasuyam sacrifice was done by Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira got some misunderstanding. Everybody praised him. After the Rajasuyam, everyone praised Yudhishthira. They said, how successful you are. Everything went very well. Lasting over 17 months and 17 days. Rajasuyam lasted that long. Everything went very well. And Yudhishthira felt a little pride inside. That time, Krishna played a trick on Yudhishthira. Krishna played this trick on Yudhishthira. While they were talking about Rajasuyam success and all that, a mongoose comes there and rolls on the ground. And they looked at this mongoose, and mongoose, half of the mongoose body has become golden color. Half of it is its normal color. Right? So everybody who observed looked at this mongoose and says to each other, what's this mongoose doing here? They wanted to know. So Krishna decided to ask the mongoose, what are you doing here? It is Krishna has created this situation to teach Yudhishthira about his pride inside. Ahangaram, how can it can come in anyone, anytime, and sometimes it will destroy everything. So they asked these mongoose, what are you doing? He said, mongoose says that, I thought this is a big sacrifice. This is nothing, he said. This Rajasuyam is nothing. Mongoose says like that, right? Because I went once for another sacrifice, and what happened there is how my half body has become gold, golden color. I thought from then onwards I have been going to all the sacrifices, and I will roll in the ground where the sacrifice was performed. But everywhere it's not working. It's not happened the same way it happened in that place where it happened to me. Right? So Krishna is asking, where did that happen? He says. So he says that I went to a Brahmana's house, and at that time there was a lot of shortages in the country, famine-like situation, right? And Brahmana had struggled very hard. He went over to many, many places to get some food, and he managed to collect some food and bring it home, right? And at that time, when they were about to eat the food, Indra comes there in the form of a Brahmana and dressed like a Brahmana, and he also looked as though he was starving. Who comes? Indra comes like that, right? So, this Brahmana, who has collected the food and brought it for the family, he gave his share to Indra. He didn't know it was Indra. Indra has come in a Brahmana's dress. And this Brahmana and the family, they were going to share the food. So, after he has eaten the food of the Brahmana who gave it to him, then he said, I am still hungry. So, naturally, the children also gave their food to him to eat because he is a guest. So, for many days, they have not eaten. Right? Finally, when everybody offered their food, Brahmana, his wife, his children, they all offered their share of food to this guest. That's how they were, right? And at that time, Indra showed his real form, who he is, right? And they have taken them to the heavenly planets. Indra took them to heavenly planets. So, this mongoose tells this story, that I went there, and I rolled myself in the ground there, where all these things happened, right? And my color has changed. This golden color, I have got it. So wherever sacrifice has happened, where tyagam, happiness, sacrifice happens, right? And since then, I realized that if a sacrifice is perfect, it has got this power, such power, that I'll be able to change the color of my skin even. And I have gone since then many, many places where yajnam, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about yajnam a lot, is it not? Whole first 6-7 chapters, he's all talking about yajnam, yajnam, yajnam. He is saying, life has to be a yajnam. He says that, right? So, this yajnam is the process of purifying karma. First of all, to understand that karma is not spiritual. Karma is not a spiritual thing for us. The process what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is the process by which to become free from karma. That, to understand that, it will take time because we have come with vasana. And without anyone telling us, we will jump into karma. Karma has become our habit. And due to our staunch faith in the karma, when somebody talks about karma is damaging, people will not be very receptive to that. It is not easy to sink in that principle, that karma is not the goal of life. And karma and jnanam, that relationship. So in order for that jnanam to come inside, karma has to leave. And to become free from karmam, Krishna spoke about karmam in depth. Karmam, agarmam, vigarmam, all those things have spoken only for one reason, that how to become free from karmam. The process, right? Sarvam karmagilam partha jnane parisamapyade, he says. If you serve all karmam, when you have become free from that, it will end up in jnanam. Krishna says like that. So you can understand from that that when you become free from the karmam, you become qualified for jnanam. So this yajnam is related to karmam. And the yajnam, all yajnam, its inner secret is what this mongoose was explaining to them through its action. Krishna wanted after Rajasuyam, Yudhishthira to understand this. That Rajasuyam performed fine, but if you start thinking that he has been able to do it successfully, all that means the purification has not happened inside enough. So yajnam is internal thing, antarikam, not bahyam, not external, right? So this is very important, because everything in life is yajnam, is it not? Everything is yajnam. Karmam comes to first to karma yogam, and then from karma yogam it comes to agarmam. That transition has to happen. If the transition didn't happen, and if you get somewhere in the lower levels, then jnanam won't come inside. Krishna will explain that in detail in the fourth chapter, right? So, suppose some yajnam is performed, right? If you make it very big, if you make any yajnam very big, with a lot of advertisement and involving a lot of people and things like that, the result will be very minimum. Result will be very minimum, right? And this is some principle what we have to learn in the modern world. Most of the people are not aware of all these things, you see. That is the problem. This modern world is in some way, it has its certain good things, but when you understand spirituality from the rishis' time and how they conducted themselves, right? In the modern world, we want to do everything in a big way, isn't it? Big scale, doing in a massive level. More people to come with a lot of advertisement and with a participation, big fundraising, and big, in a big level. If you do big everything in a big way, it is considered to be success in the modern world. If you do things in a big way, it's considered to be success. More people have come, thousands of people have come, and hundreds of thousands of pounds were spent, all kinds of entertainment, and things like that. This is not Rishi's method. Please understand this principle. Right, we are all caught up in this modern world, and modern world has hit us very badly in that way and given us all false impression of what the rishi's process is. We misunderstood many things, right? And because of that influence on us of the modern world, right, you can see that everything is done these days, spiritual activities I'm talking about. Spiritual activities are done with a lot of celebrations and create a lot of noise, inviting all the big mundane leaders like ministers, celebrities, sportsmen, and film stars and all of that, right? You bring them all and give them some priority treatment and make it a big success. We consider this all success in spiritual life, if you have all these things, right? If you do all that, this yajna bhavam won't be there in that. The yajna bhavam won't be there, right? Krishna wanted this to understand Yudhishthira. He thought that Rajasuyam was done very well, but he said, no, the mongoose has understood the principle better than you. He wanted to convey this message to Yudhishthira through the mongoose. This principle holds good in everything in spiritual life. Spirituality is not for marketing, or it is not meant for in changing the world. This is all misunderstanding in our head, creeps in from the world. It gets into our head, right? Doing everything in a small level without creating much noise and doing it as simple as possible, that is the Rishi's method. Because only then you can go deeper into it. Not doing things everywhere, including everything, but doing it small, but doing it in a deeper level. That is the Rishi's approach to spirituality, right? So nowadays everything doing big level is considered to be important, right? But the thing is, you may do things in a big level, at the end, there is no result. There is no result, right? So you spend a lot of money, make a big procession, and doing big, big things, and show a lot of, display a lot of opulences and that. This is not Rishi's process. It is not Rishi's sampradayam, right? And you can see in Rishi's times how things were conducted. If you look back into that, you will notice that Rishis used to live in the ashram there. And if somebody wants a spiritual understanding or someone wants knowledge, spiritual knowledge, they'll go to them, to the ashrams, right? And there used to be small salsangam in the ashrams. In the ashrams. It will be very small, two or three people. That's how the salsangam used to be, right? And at that time, the end result was good. Because the way the spiritual knowledge permeated into people and the success they had in spiritual life, it's not happening today. Today, mass level people are coming for programs and attending programs, and we think that everything is becoming spiritual. But the end result, if you look at it, what the rishis did in their little ashrams and the spirituality they created in the people was much more successful than in the modern way of doing things. It is difficult for people to understand this, because we are all used to this modern society where everything is advertisement, propaganda and all that. Yeah. So the result is this, that the rishis, what they created, spiritual strength, or the people got the self-realization through salsangam, what they got from the rishis in the ashrams, which was done in a very, very, very small level, very few people. Ramachandra mentions this when he was going to the forest, that I'm looking for that salsangam with the rishis directly in the ashram. And Ramachandra's association with the different rishis is spoken in the Ramayana about it. So the thing is, what we have to understand, that their lifestyle and their way of doing things is different than the way we are doing today. We are totally carried away by this concept in our head. Everything should be done in a big level, big scale. Thousands of people coming. And at the end result, you see how much spirituality happens. The whole thing becomes an entertainment. It becomes an entertainment, right? So when Krishna is talking about yajnam, you have to bear all these things in mind. And in the same way, the speakers also, when you get thousands of people, you will see all these big, big Bhagavatam lectures. Thousands of people come. What happens at the end? Very little understanding of spirituality gets in. Most of the people leave. They come for a 7 days program. Lot of music, entertainment, some stories, prasadam, and gone. That's it. It's not having any impact on the people. People are not getting the spiritual way, they are not growing. That spiritual growth is not happening, right? So if you give too much importance to these external things, the essence will be lost. And that's what's happening. We give too much importance about organizing, management, and all other things related to how many great personalities are coming for the program. This is all important. If you give importance to such things, and similarly the entertainment and all the different programs what you have organized, dance, music, and all sorts of things what we do, and we think that program is success, result is useless. This is the modern world. Program is a success. Thousands of people had come. We are not denying totally that they have got some benefit in the sense that they were able to buy the books and buy the see some dance and entertainment and all that. But beyond than that, spiritually nothing happened. It's unfortunate. We have to say this. That's the way it is. The way Rishi succeeded in getting the message through to the heart of the person and able to change them that way, it's not happening in this modern big programs. It's not helping though. So that is why they are saying their process is do everything in the smallest level, in the smallest way, right? And it doesn't require all these elaborate arrangements, right? Only the Antaryami has to know what is happening. Bhavagrahi Janardana, right? So Krishna is saying this in Bhagavad Gita, if you look, in the 4th chapter, in the 32nd verse. Look at that, how Krishna is putting that to us, right? Krishna is saying that while performing yajnam, you should bear this in mind. Evam bahuvidha yajnam vidada brahmano mukhe karmajan vididan sarvan nevam yatva vimokshase. First thing is, he says that all this yajnam what is spoken in the Vedam has come from karmam, right? And then karmajan, they have come out of karmam only. Why karmakandam in the Vedam? To make us free from karmam. It is for that purpose karmakandam in the Vedam is. And we are not even aware of all these things. We are thinking karmam is the whole thing. Without karmam, what is in this world? Vedam does not want us to be stuck in the karmam. Vedam wants us to become free from karmam. But because the vasanas, the swabhavam in us, everything is so strong, in Vedam, karmakandam was given to us to make us free from karma. That's what he's saying there. Evam bahuvidha yajnam, different types of yajnam, vidada brahmano mukhe, karmajan vididan sarvan, everything has come from karma. Karmajan vididan sarvan, evam yatva vimokshase. So, first thing to realize is this, that I have to become free from karmam first. Talking about jnanam is later. Jnanam comes later. But how do I become free from karmam? And that process, in order that to happen, he is saying here a lot of things, right? In that verse, he is talking about that, right? So, this karmam, for example, yajnam, when you have to perform, you require a lot of money for that. And lot of materialistic people will come for that when you perform yajnam, right? When they come and when it becomes a big affair, what will happen? There will be a committee, management committee will be there. It is unavoidable, right? Then the problems will begin from that, right? And this modern experiments with spirituality in this big way, it's a failure. It's an absolute failure. If you have little intelligence and to think through it, you will see it. It's an absolute failure. What you try to do, the Rishi's method, you are trying to tamper with it. And you thought, because this modern thing, we got all these facilities now, transport facility, and everything is available now, isn't it? So we are thinking that if you do it in a big way, we will become more spiritual. But it's not happening. On the other hand, it is not going in. Anything, no message is getting in, right? So organizations, all these modern organizations, ashrams, all of them, and they have got more problems than anybody else, right? So, okay, they started all these things with good intentions, no doubt about it, right? Even though they are running it with good intentions, the problems that happens inside due to money, wealth, position, all this becomes, because the people who come inside, they don't have the proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita. I'm sorry to say, even in the sannyasis and some of the leaders, you don't think the messages got inside properly. They also have been misguided in this way, right? And then what happens? Name, fame, position all becomes, and then eventually it ends up in fighting each other for positions and for the control, right? So, therefore, because rishis knew all these things, they deliberately made it like this. Do it in the smallest level possible. Don't do it in a bigger well, because it won't bring any end result to the people from that, right? So, therefore, instead of wasting all your energy in organizing and managing big functions and big programs, they are saying to us that don't waste your energy in that. Yajnam should be performed as a yajnam, right? So, in Vedam, Krishna is saying that, karmajan vididan sarvan, all of them has come from karma. We are trying to become free from karma. That is the goal of yajnam, anything, right? So, and this, why is it like that? Because karmam is jadam. Karmam is jadam, right? So karma yogam and the karma gandam in the Vedam is all with this one motive, one goal. It has been set up in that way. What is that? If you have a tyagam, sacrificing nature inside, tyage neiva amrutatva manashu, with keeping that tyagam inside, you have to become free from the karma. Through the tyagam, karmam will become akarmam. And in that way, yajnam will become success. These are all the secret behind this, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So Krishna is saying here that evam yatva vimokshase, you will become free. Vimokshase, you will become free, right? Saying that, there is few things he has spoken there. Evam yathokta bahuvidam, bahu prakaram yajna vidadam, visirnam brahmano dedasya mukhe dvare. All these yajnam are spoken in the Vedam in detail. Then, he says, karmajan kaiga vacha manasa karmod bhavan vididhan sarvan, analpajan ruvyabharohi atma. Karmam comes from three things: body, words, and the mind. So when karma, that's what that word is saying, karmajan. Karmajan means where karmam comes from, right? Atma, the soul, has nothing to do with karmam. Like subtle body, karmam is also an external thing. It is in us as a disease. And to become free from this disease is not easy. Karmam. So, karmajan vididhan sarvan, evam yatva imokshase. So, after saying that, Krishna is saying that, know these things and try to become free from karma. That is Krishna's request to Arjuna first, right? And if you want to understand it better, right, that when all this is done, karma is done, this realization inside, I am not doing anything. It is happening through the prakriti. Prakriti is doing the karma, right? It is happening through my body, mind and senses, but me, the antaryami inside, is not doing anything. Nirvyabharam, right? Krishna says to Arjuna, if you take that realization, then even if you are doing the karma, performing the sacrifice, even if you think like that, I am doing the karma, I am performing the sacrifice, you can still get bound by that. So, one has to do karmam in such a way that with this, he shouldn't be even thinking that he is doing the karmam. In such a way, he has to learn that is what akarmam means. So, karmam, akarmam, vikarmam. First of all, we have to understand it fully. We'll talk later that, right? This secret, realized souls know this well, because that's how they got there. They have gone through these stages and they've reached that stage. So therefore, they know the secret behind it, right? And when they had their disciples, they have taught them this secret they have learned. And that success depends upon the maturity of the disciples also. The disciples are matured and the realized person, if they come into contact, this message will get through to the other side without any hindrance, right? The message will get properly transmitted to the other side. If not, it will break there itself. It will break there, right? So, you can see in the modern organizations also, right? This Ramakrishna Mission, for example, this is the first spiritual organization who started before everybody else. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he had 17 close disciples, Brahmananda, Nirmalananda, Vivekananda, and all are in that category, right? Message was transmitted to them very well, but after that it's gone. It's gone. Since then it has become an organization, it got involved in all sorts of things, right? So when those 17, first 17, who had very close association with him, they were able to transform themselves on the basis of that understanding from Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa was able to create that in them. It worked for them. But after that, the mission has lost its message. And in many places, it has become like any other organizations, right? And this is a very subtle principle. We won't immediately understand it, that how come, as we say, organization will continue to exist here. But that spiritual understanding, when it was small, it worked. When it expanded, it's lost. So that is how spirituality stays in this world. We may not observe all these things. We will think that the organization is, modern concept is, if the organization is all over the world, it means it must be the right one. The democratic principle comes in there. But spirituality don't works on democracy principle. Spirituality is entirely a different thing. It totally depends on the qualified people and the qualified master. Master means who has to develop these followers in the right way, able to do that. That capacity is very limited. People have that. You have to have the realized souls who are able to elevate others with this right understanding. And they won't go for big, big things. They know that, where the limitation is. So anyway, there are so many examples like this. If you look back into the history, you will find this. But only if you very carefully look at it, you will see the problem there. What has gone wrong, right? Institution has become big. Big organizations, no substance in there. It has come to that, right? You heard about Swami Ramadas. He was, he had an ashram near Mangalore, I think. Kanyangad village there, right? And Ramadas was Ramchandra's devotee. He went to see Ramana Maharshi and all that, right? So this Ramdas ashram also same thing happened. In his time, there was a lady called Krishnabai. She was the mother who ran the ashram, right? After Ramdas left the body, and Krishnabai was running the ashram. Meanwhile, the ashram has grown a little bit bigger. Little bit bigger, not big. Little bigger. By then, she wrote about this later. What she said was that she had very good support from Ramdas. Ramdas trained her properly, and she was also a very mature person. In other words, spiritually she was very qualified. And when she got the association with Ramdas, it worked for her. She realized a lot of things, and many people used to go to see her. In fact, what happened was, when Ramana Maharshi left this world, all Ramana Maharshi's people were also like this, very much controlled, not interested in fame and name and fame, full of knowledge, and they lived in this world untouched by the world. They lived in this world because they knew that spiritual knowledge is valuable. It is not for propaganda only. It is for realization inside. Yeah. So what happened? Maharshi left, and then the whole ashram was deserted. All the disciples went away to different places. Nobody came back. They all went on their own. Because they were all individually, they were all complete and self-sufficient. They didn't require association with each other. The knowledge they got from Maharshi, they were able to keep it to themselves. And that realizations, they were able to hold on to that. Right? That is how it should be. Otherwise, just because we have got 10,000 people, 50,000 people, 100,000 people, nothing wrong. They will get some benefit, but spiritual growth won't happen in that environment. It will be like this. It will become a big mela or a big festival. And you can feel, oh, another Janmashtami is over or another Ramnavami is over. But spiritually, how much has it benefited the individuals? If you look into it, nothing has changed. That's the end result. So, Ramdas left the body. Then Krishnabai was there. In the meanwhile, Ramana Maharshi's ashram became empty. Nobody was there. Everybody went away. Good people who were very close with Maharshi left and went away. At that time, one day, his grandson, you can say, he went to see Krishnabai. Krishnabai told him, your job is to get back all those people who are living around in different places, bring them to the ashram back again, which he did later. Right. So then Krishnabai writes about her memories in her reminiscences, what do we call that, right? She says like this, she said, the benefit I got from that Ramdas as my guru, what he has given it to me, that benefit others didn't get it who came to the ashram. They didn't get it. And they could not get that anubhuti, the realizations, right? And the reason for that is this ashram, she says. This ashram is the problem for that. Why? When we started this ashram and people started coming, then we had to worry about their food, their accommodation, and then you need an office, then you need fundraising, then you need management. This whole thing goes in another. It's normal, it is. Rishis didn't want this headache. This is all useless. This is. Okay, superficially you find some benefit. Superficially. But deeper level, nothing much happens. So, he says here that this Krishnabai writes in her memories, she's saying, when we expanded into ashram with facilities for others to come, to stay, food, and then for, obviously you need money, fundraising and all these things. People who had come, they want to take those responsibility. How things quickly goes away like this. Spiritual goal can easily derail if we get attracted to material life. Obviously, when you're running an ashram, when you have got so many people coming, then you need to maintain them, look after them, and all your time and energy has gone in that direction. Right? So, these things won't help in self-realization. That's the important thing, right? And she has written that very plainly in her book about it, right? The failure of the modern experiments, what we do with spiritual life. These are all experiments. What we are doing now in this world with spiritual life is experiment. We think that it may work, but it will not work. Rishis knew, and Rishis' process is, all the Rishis, one-to-one, or have a very small group of people talking to spiritual about spiritual life. It cannot be done in a massive, big level, big way. It cannot be done, right? So their thing is that doing it small, but doing it deeper level. That's more important, right? But when you have to cater to thousands of people, then you require resources for that, is it not? Then you require the businessmen to support. Then you have to keep the relationship with them. This has happened to sannyasis. They are caught up in this mess. In order to do all your big, big projects, you need money. And for money, who has got the big businesses have got the money. So you have to go to them and you have to keep a relationship with them. So where is self-realization now? What has happened to self-realization, right? Then you have to construction, big, big buildings, organizations, and all other things. And if you take the shelter of all these things, your spiritual life will fail at the end, right? One has to think like this, that Krishna is the only shelter, and if Krishna wants it to happen, it can happen. But otherwise, with that help, if you do it, it is yajnam. Otherwise, it changes its nature. Yajnam changes, right? So yajnam becomes a yajnam, not through karma. That's the first thing, right? Whereas through jnanam, that is what Krishna's point is there, right? He is saying that, you look at the next verse, in that fourth chapter, Shrayan Drevyamayad Yajnyad, you know these things are included in the Bhagavad Gita, but you won't capture it when you read it from our state of consciousness, the way we are. Because we are already polluted with this doing things in a big way. We don't know the Rishi's method. We are only used to the modern method. How the modern world functions, isn't it? Everything done in a big way, it is a success. This has gone into our head. That does not work in spiritual life, unfortunately. It doesn't work. So, Krishna is saying, Shrayan Drevyamayo Yajna Mayad Yajna Jnana Yajna Param Tapa Sarvam Karmakhilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyade Dravyam means ingredients for the yajnam is necessary for the yajnam, right? But he is saying that higher than all these things is jnana yajnam. Jnana yajnam, param tapa, which comes from tapas. Yeah? Tapas is necessary. Without tapas, all is waste. You know, there is no talk about tapas these days. Nobody interested in tapas. Tapas is too much for them. And then they will make excuses that in bhakti this is all allowed and all that. Where is it? Without tapas, what can happen? What does tapas mean? Tapas means jnanam. Knowledge is tapas, right? That's why I'm saying here, jnana yajna param tapa. From tapas it has to come. It is not the external tapas, right? So, through knowledge, if you destroy your ego, ahankaram, that is called tapas. So, but if knowledge has to happen, you have to become free from karmam first. These are all subtle things what Krishna is saying to us. Only Bhagavad Gita will tell you these things. There's no other literature who will tell these things in such a way. Krishna is opening up the things to us and saying to us, it is like this, right? Ultimate goal of all spiritual life is what? To get rid of the ahankaram inside, this ego. Everyone will agree on that. Whether Vishishtadvaiti or Dvaiti or Advaiti, no matter. They all agree on one this thing, that ahankaram has to leave from inside, right? So, that is why he is saying that, Shrayan Drevyamayad Yajnyad, Jnana Yajna Param Tapa Sarvam Karmakhilam Partha Jnanam Parisamapyade, he said. So, in the 32nd verse, he said, Karmajan Vididan Sarvan Nevam Yatu Vimokshase. It is in continuation of that, this next verse. 32 is connected to 33 very closely. The last two lines of 32, Karmajan Vididan Sarvan Evam Yatva Vimokshase, 33 Krishna is saying, Shreyan Drivimayad Yatnya Jnani Yatnya Param Tapa. Right? All karmam, Krishna is saying there, Sarva karmam, when will karmam goes? When jnanam comes. Sarvam karma khilam partha jnani parisamapyade. That's the end of karmam, he says. Sarva karma akhilam partha jnani parisamapyade. When jnanam comes inside, karmam finishes there. Only at that, when karmam goes away, only then jnanam will come in. Only then jnanam will come in. So, in other words, all karmam, karma vasana inside, has to completely get burned inside. And that will happen with the jnanam coming in, right? So, jnanam, and in order that jnanam to come in, right, jnanam is the one which destroys karmam. Jnanam destroys karmam, right? It is saying this, Krishna is saying in the next verse, from where to get that jnanam? That is when he goes into the 34th verse, Tadviddhi Pranibadena Pariprasthena Sevya, famous verses, right? So, and that is why Krishna is going to say after that, that how to achieve, acquire jnanam, right? So, jnanam, through jnanam, able to realize the truth, and then through mananam, able to realize that inside, and realize the self, and in that way that chapter finishes there. So, why I was saying all these things was that this connection between karmam and jnanam. It is important to know that, and when you start looking at that, you will see here that the Krishna is saying this jnana sadhana, what we are now talking about, this jnana sadhana, in which stage it will help us in spiritual life. We have to know that. You see, this sadhana also is at different levels, right? Depending upon our state of purity inside. One who has become serious in spiritual life and who is getting some connection with Bhagavad Gita, he will start seeing that where you stand, you will understand in spiritual path. Where you stand, we stand, we will understand that. Yeah. So, Krishna's point here is that the, as he mentioned earlier, in that 13th chapter, Sakti Anabhishwanga, 9th verse. Putradhara Grihadishu Nityanja Samajitatvam Ishta Anishtopapatishu. Right? So, the senses, right? Indriyarteshu Vairagyam, freedom from the senses. Now, freedom means not hating it. That's not what it is. Virakti. Vairagya means not hating it, right? Rather, seeing that senses are going to create trouble for me. This bodham inside. Dukkha doshanu darshanam, he said, right? So, this dukkha doshanu darshanam, you have to add to everything in that verse. Indriyarteshu vairagyam vai dukkha doshanu darshanam. Anahangaram evacha dukkha doshanu darshanam. Yeah. Janma mrityu janavyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So that is how vairagyam comes. Vairagyam is not hating somebody or something, but instead that you knowing the consequences, withdrawing yourself from that, that's vairagyam. Vairagyam is not hate somebody and then becoming disgusted with someone and moving away from that. That's not vairagyam. Proper vairagyam is through your dukkha doshana darshanam, seeing the after effect of following that route, what will happen, becoming conscious of that and able to withdraw from that, that is vairagyam. That's the way to understand that. Indriyarteshu vairagyam means becoming free from sense objects, knowing very well how sense objects can trap you in life and of the consequences of sense gratification, able to reflect on that and voluntarily withdrawing from sense enjoyment. That's vairagyam. That's proper vairagyam. There's other types of vairagyam in this world. People hate somebody and then you completely ignore and leave that person. That's not vairagyam. That's coming from hate. But through knowledge, that's what Krishna is talking about, right? Dukkha doshana darshanam. If you engage in sense gratification unlimitedly, what can happen? On the other hand, you also know that without senses, you can't live in this world, right? So that is why when Krishna spoke about this Sthita Prajna Lakshanam, he mentioned this Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyais Charan Atma Vashyan Vidhayatma Prasadam Adhikachari. You will see a verse there, right? So, if you have sense gratification with vasana behind it and with that desire inside to enjoy, with that, if you keep on engaging in sense gratification, what will happen is your mind will become totally polluted. Mind will become totally polluted. If this desire is very strong inside to enjoy, and that's what that verse is saying, Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyais Charan Atma Vashyan Vidhayatma Prasadam Adhikachari, right? So, but if you, with the desires, if you enjoy, gratify senses, then mind will become very polluted, right? On the other hand, without ragadvesham, according to one's dharmam, one does it. For example, one has to eat food, right? For what purpose? To maintain this body. But if I start thinking it's only the taste that's more important for the food, right? And then it will change. It changes, right? So, food, if it is only for maintaining the body, then it is dharma, right? But if it is for the sake of taste only, one is eating the food, then it is adharma for that purpose, right? That is the difference, to make it clearer, right? So, without ragadvesham, simply for the sake of maintaining dharmam and keeping this body going, and also knowing very well that your prarabdham is running out in that way, if you are able to keep the sense objects in that level, Krishna is saying there, what will happen is, gradually, inside your mind will become more pure. Mind will become pure, and it will become much more in a joyful mood, right? And more, that experience of the samadhi state will happen inside. So, indriyarteshu vairagyam, what Krishna is saying there, right, means that one should very intelligently analyze this. And in that way, one must see the distress that can come from sense enjoyment and know, sense the danger in advance, and knowing that he should bring full back himself from all kinds of sense gratification, right? Just like eyes want to see, ears want to hear, nose wants to smell, tongue wants to taste, and skin wants to touch, right? So, and due to that, we get trapped in one of them, right? So, we'll have a short break and we'll continue after that. చేతోదర్పణమార్జనం వమహాదావాగ్ని నిర్వాపణం శ్రేయకైదవ చంద్రియా వితరణం విద్యావధూ జీవనం ఆనందాంబుదివర్ధనం ప్రతిపద పూర్ణామృతాస్వాదనం సర్వాత్మా స్వపనం వరం విజయతే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నియమితా స్మరణేన కాలాం ఏతాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమాపి దైవమీదృశనిమానురాగాహం తృణారభిషుణీచేన తరోరభి సహిష్ణున అమాని నామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదా హరి నధనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాల్ భక్తిరహై దుగిత్వై ఆయి నందతనూజకింగరం పతితామాం శమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాదపంకజస్థితదూళీ సదృశం విచిందయా నయనం గళదశ్రుధారయా వదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిర పులకైర్నిచితం గదావభూ తవ నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయితం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం పినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం అర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదదాదులం పడో మత్ ప్రాణమానాస్తు నయేవ నాపరా సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద ఇంద్రియార్థేషు వైరాగ్యం అనహంకారమేవ చ జన్మ మృత్యుజరా వ్యాధి దుఃఖదోషానుదర్శనం సో ఇంద్రియార్థేషు వైరాగ్యం కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ దీస్ ఫైవ్ సెన్సెస్ వాట్ కంట్రోల్స్ అస్ యా సో ఇన్ ది భాగవతం యు రిమెంబర్ 24 స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్స్ that's talked about that the five different entities which affects our five different senses, right?
Yeah,
the deer for example is connection with the sound. Deer gets affected by the music and it stands there not knowing that she could be shot down any time by the hunter. So hunters plays the music and influences the, because it's her weakness, the deer's weakness is this ear, sound, shabdam. So, so that is how the deer get affected and gets victimized by its own sense. That sense, sensual attraction, sense enjoyment for hearing. That weakness of the deer, it gets trapped in that and it gets killed. In that way. Similarly, elephant due to touch, sparsham. That's the weakness of the elephant, isn't it? Sparsham. So, due to sparsham, that is one example. Five senses, five different types of living entities. So, the deer is example for the ear and the sense of touch. Elephants have got that serious weakness. We may think the elephants are looking into the size of it and thick skin, but the power of that sense is very high, sparsham, touch, right? And due to that desire, how they catch elephants is like that. They bring the she elephant in front of the male elephant and she elephant will run and the male elephant will follow and it will, in that process, it will get stuck inside the dig on the earth, and they fall into it, and then with the help of the she elephant only, they take the male elephant, bring it under the control. So that you can see that's a normal way of catching the wild elephants from the forest. Male elephants so much weakness for their sense of touch. So uses the she elephant, they take it from the country and then bring it to the forest, and using the she elephant, they make the male elephant get victimized by that because of the sense of touch, sparsham. So elephant is the example for that. How sense of touch one can become victimized, and obviously the male elephant was living happily in the forest, loses its independence after that. For a few days they will starve the male elephant and then he will listen. And you, that's how they bring it under training, they control them like that. Yeah. So that is for the elephant. Then we have got this fish for taste, isn't it? So that's, you know, how the fisherman catches the fish, they throw the bait and the fish attracted by that and it gets stuck inside the, what do they call it, the hook. Yeah, it gets stuck inside and the fish is caught. So that is the tongue. So the tongue, the skin and the deer, three things, right? And in this way, similarly, the eye and the moth is the example for that. It sees, you can see in the rainy season when the fire is burning or the lamp is burning, they'll come. They are so attracted by that effulgence of the light that they come and they want to enjoy it. And in that process, their wings get burned and they fall into the lamp and they die. So, in the Viveka Chudamani, it mentions this, these five senses. These five of them, they all die due to their weakness of that particular sense. He is saying, we who have got all the five, imagine our situation, he's saying. We have weaknesses from all five senses. Whereas they only have one of them, and that alone is sufficient to destroy them. Whereas we have got all these five senses, and you become victimized by the, by that. Yeah. Similarly, the bee, that's for the smell, black bee, it goes attracted to the flowers, goes inside to drink the honey, and it sits there, gets drunk with that honey, and in the night it closes. Because of the smell, it went there, and in the night the flower closes and it dies there. So the moth, the bee, the fish, the deer, the elephant, all five are the examples of our different weaknesses of different senses. Our five different senses, how they, when they become weak, we get carried away by the influence of them and we get trapped. Indriyartheshu vairagyam. Krishna is saying that. It's not. So, having said that, one should use one's intelligence and one shouldn't rush into all these things thinking that everything I'm going to sort out today. Right? Initially, first one should study Shastram very well. All these things, right? And you should take shelter of satsangam and bhakti. And there is no point in fighting with the sense objects, right? That's why Krishna is saying, shanai shanai ruparamed, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that. Step by step, right? In other words, while cultivating vairagyam through sense gratification, one should take shelter of bhakti. With bhakti's help, one should do that, right? Anahangaram evacha. In other words, vairagyam should not become an ahangaram later. Well, because I am very renounced now, and to impress the world, I am very detached, I am very renounced. Then it should not become like that. If you forcefully do anything, control your senses in that way, it will come up inside in the form of ahangaram in some other way. It will come out in the form of ahangaram. So, without ahangaram coming up, and without getting dragged by the senses in any way, that is when you are ready for dhyanam. Dhyanam comes inside. Dhyanam means meditation. Dhyana sukham, right? And when you will naturally feel a certain amount of shanti inside, dhyana sukham, but one should not feel proud about that, that anandam, what comes from dhyanam, right? Just like sometimes people feel, though I have chanted 64 rounds today, and feeling pride about that. So, Similarly, people who do deity worship or done my deity worship very well today, to feel proud like that, Krishna is saying that that's not favorable. And so Mahalmas, they only will look at everybody and see how much ahankaram is inside. That's what they will look at, right? They won't look at about your kamam, krodham and all. They will look at the ahankaram inside. So if ahankaram is not there, then kamam, krodham, those things will not be there for a long time. If ahankaram goes away, right? If ahankaram is there, then even if you have a lot of austerities and penances, tapas, nishta, indriya nigraham, control of senses, he will fall, even if one has got all that, he will become influenced by kamam, krodham, lust and anger will come into him. So, and that is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that abhijet sudhuracharo bhajademam ananya bhak sadhureva samandavya samyak vyavasido hisa. In other words, he says that even if a person is addicted to certain bad things, if this ahankaram is not there in him, then he will easily become a devotee. That's where the science is. That people are habituated to do so many wrong things in life, bad things, sometimes unable to control the senses. Krishna's point is, if he has no ahankaram, then those bad qualities in him will leave him very quickly. But if there is ahankaram inside, then it won't. So, Mahalmas, therefore, they will look at a person and see how egoistic he is. If ego is very strong, then they will not entertain anything. They won't. So, and that's what he is saying. He is saying here also that ahankaram evacha janma mrityu jara vyadhi, he said there. Not only that, for the vairagyam sadhana, Krishna is saying here, how vairagyam will come in a person. Why vairagyam doesn't come? So there he is saying that first thing to notice that there is distress in this world. There is a lot of distress in this world, right? And one who has got the intelligence to study about life in this world, able to look at others. And if you have a little bit thoughtful nature, you will observe these things, how people are suffering in this world, caught up in different situations. And from their experience, one has to develop vairagyam in that way, right? So the way to know that, vairagyam to build up, Krishna's point is, see the distress in this world. We are not observing the distress. Oh, it's happened to somebody else. Why do I bother? This is, most of the people think like that. No. When others are in suffering, when they are suffering, and we are suffering, Krishna is saying, you have to develop that capacity to analyze it properly and able to develop vairagyam from that. So many instances, if you look into the world outside, you will find this happening all the time. All the time. Provided you have the capacity to analyze their life and see people who had, why does this happen in life, people's life, right? It's not just external reasons, it's just the nature of this material existence. Observing that, like recently, businessmen, they make a lot of money and sometimes they commit suicide at the end. They just don't know what to do with the amount of stress that builds up with the wealth, unable to handle that. Look at this man, Imran Khan's situation. One time he was a big cricketer and a lot of money, everything, lying in the prison now and doesn't know where it's going. Right? I'm not interested in his politics solid, but just saying what can happen in life with people. Big people, they get into this kind of situation. So if it can happen to them, what about ordinary people? Ordinary people, life is also not different. If you analyze life, you will see that distress comes. There is only distress in this world. Melpathur mentions that in the Narayaniyam in a different way. He says, Dukkhani alokya jandushu alam uditam. From dukkham comes vivekam. Dukkhani alokya jandushu alam vivekoham acharyavariya ledhva todruba tattvam guna charita kata ulbhaval bhakti bhuma mayamenam tharitvam paramasumhamaye tulkripa modidahe tasyayam purvaranga pavana parapade nashesha rogan. In the Ekadasham, when he summarizes in Ekadasha Skandam, he mentions it in the same way what Krishna is saying here. From dukkham we have to learn there is suffering in this world. And from the distress in this world, we have to develop that nature of way of thinking. And that leads into, one should learn from that, right? But young people, they won't listen. They don't understand all these things, right? Like children, they work very hard. And finally, particularly in modern times, young men, they go to work and career-minded profession, career and all these things completely destroys them at the end, right? And they are not aware of this, but circumstances are such, they are caught up in that and gradually they lose the taste for self-realization or the knowledge of the spiritual life. Those things, they never get their opportunity in life, right? So now and then when it is possible to point out to them, they are thinking that working hard in life, building a career and earning a lot of wealth as was the goal of life. And because of that, what happens? By the age of 40, 45, they are finished. There is nothing for them in life afterwards. Right? So, and Bhagavatam is saying that, look at all the animals. Even they are more intelligent than us. They will only hunt for the food. After that, they don't do any work. So only for meeting the essential things, the nature has given them that. They are not thinking about economic development. They are not thinking about building roads and all kinds of things, what we are doing now. So you have to have a little independent way of thinking, to think in this way. If you are conditioned by the modern world, then it is very difficult to break away from that, to come to this way of thinking, spiritual way of thinking, right? So, the situation in the modern world is like this. We are all traveling in one aeroplane, right? And from that aeroplane, if it crashes, all die in one lot. One or two people, if they want to escape from that, it's not possible. Modern society is like that. Whole society is going with this concept. Work hard, earn well, enjoy life, and this is all life is about. And everybody is in that aeroplane. And if one or two wants to come out of it, it's very difficult in the world today. That's how unfortunate we are. The children, their future is, because of this, is completely lost, right? When the whole society becomes like that, And when they have taken a decision like this, the whole society has decided economic development alone is the purpose of life and economic development is the goal of life. And if someone is able to think about it and realize that if he has got the intelligence, he will try to escape from that. He will. But he has to have the intelligence for that, which they don't. Right? So, they get caught up. This is how karmam traps you. That karmam becomes a yogam then, not a yogam anymore. Karma yogam it becomes, right? So, somehow or the other, this modern society, we have given a wrong importance to it, what it doesn't deserve, karmam. We have given such an importance to it, and because of that, we don't realize what we have done to ourselves by giving importance to karma, right? It is through karma that we have destroyed this world. And understand, when we started in this direction, we don't know how much damage we are doing to this world with our way of thinking. Destroying everywhere. When you see their enthusiasm in the form of this collecting these rare metals, and then gold, and then petrol, and energy resources like these windmills, and fracking, and drilling in the sea, and all that. All these things, we think that it is kept there for our utility purposes, right? So, and you look at animals, look at their way of life. They don't do any work unless they want some food. Otherwise, they are not interested in anything. They'll just wander around and live and go. So you can imagine that, how far we have fallen into this trap. We are not able to think anymore. That this has economic development and sense gratification. Arthakamam has taken the priority. There is no dharmam also anymore because of these two things, these two forces. That vasanas what we have, and that vasanas start working like this, arthakamam becomes the priority in life, and therefore all other things have gone away. And then we are talking about varnashrama dharmam. What varnashrama dharmam will work in this society? This madness. Where can be? Varnashrama dharmam you can discuss with people who have some understanding of spiritual life. Animals like who are simply busy in accumulating wealth and enjoying life, for them varnashrama dharmam doesn't matter. That's why we have to also become a little bit conscious of the world where we are living today, and see how degraded the whole situation is. And so, and people work hard and for the sake of vanity also. And working hard is not Bhagavad Gita's philosophy. First of all, we should understand that. Working hard like an ass is not Bhagavad Gita's philosophy. Even that has been abused by people without understanding what Bhagavad Gita is saying to us. Because they are hearing Bhagavad Gita from the modern, people who are teaching them, they also, it has become more like a business now. You know, then that's where things go wrong, right? So, Krishna is saying, the science of Bhagavad Gita is to how to become free from karma. How to become free from karma, right? And through karma, you will only destroy yourself. First thing to know that, right? So, therefore, Krishna is saying to Arjuna first, right? If you have to do work for essential things, absolutely essential things, you can work for that. Because without doing work, you cannot live in this world. And when you have accepted a body, when a body has come, it means that there is work to be done. It is to be understood that way. When you have got a material body, it means work has to be done, right? Only that work you should do. What is to be done through that body, right? And that should be done. That's why that detailed explanation of karma, what Krishna talks about in the first six chapters, to make us understand, right? Karma should be done in such a way that from karma, another karma should not come. Means, it should not create vasanas inside, in such a way, right? So, essential things for living in this world, food, clothing, shelter, things like that. And then he will have some time for living in this world. So, unfortunately in modern world, that does not happen. Young people particularly, right? So that's where we are at. We are worrying that you can understand where we are now in this world, spiritually, why our situation is, right? So, modern jobs, a lot of them are very demanding, whether it is medicine or whether it is information technology, IT or whatever it is, that working for so many hours continuously, and there is when one is working like that, what chance has he got to get to know Bhagavad Gita? What opportunity has he got? When you say to them about Bhagavad Gita, it just has no effect on them. And this is the situation, right? So, one should observe these things and one should develop, that's what Krishna is saying, vivekam. The discrimination one should build up inside. What is that vivekam? Dukkha doshanu darshanam. Janmam mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. From dosham, dukkham will come. And after some time, if you look at this generation, what will happen is that forget about spiritual life. Very early in life itself, they'll become very sick. Diseases will come to them, right? Why? Because the pressure of the job, they are not able to live a normal life, and diseases come to the body, and they are not able to look after their health, and mind is not peaceful. And what is the benefit from that at the end? At a very early stage in life, they become very sick as well. And the whole education system also is like that, right? So that is what Mahabali mentions this in the Bhagavatam. If you look, you will see there that in the 8th canto, he puts it like this, in a different way, he says. Mahabali says, 22nd chapter, 8th canto. Verse 9. Kim Altmananina Jahadiyo Ndaru. Kim Viktahare Sujanakyu Dasyubi. Kim Jayaya Samsadi Hedu Budaya. Martyasya Gehe Kimi Hayusho Veyaha. Kim Altmananina Jahadiyo Andada. Kim Viktahare Sujanakyu Dasyubi. Kim Jayaya Samsadi Hedu Budaya. Martyasya Gehe Kimi Hayusho Veyam. Mahalvati is saying here that we think that the father, mother is our well-wisher, right? Mahabali says, no, they are not your well-wisher. Because parents generally are not much worried about their spiritual health or spiritual progress in their life. All they want is that the children should be educated and should have a proper good living in comfortable life in this world. And therefore, he's saying that neither father nor mother is actually your well-wisher, because they don't know what is good for them, good for anybody. Right? And you can see that the children, when they are educated very well, they go away and find America or Europe or somewhere else, right? And those children who have left home like that, from childhood they were busy with the education, everything. And even if the child shows some interest in spiritual life, the parents tell them, this is not the age for spiritual life. This age you should be studying and getting all the degrees in this world, right? And so, and these children, they were given that education at that age. I'm just saying this because this has happened in Bharatabhumi to a large extent, and therefore it has become very difficult now to change the way of thinking. And it has ingrained in them so much. The parents have done this damage to the children. And the children, naturally, what happened? They got educated and they've gone away, left the parents in the old age home, and they've gone away from there, right? So, they didn't do it thinking that it is all beneficial for the country, but when someone wants to escape from here, right, it is difficult to change the whole society. Among them, one or two people may think about these things and may think of escaping from here. You can't change the whole society. It's not possible, right? So, in order to come out of this, what do they call the this web of education, job, marriage, mortgage, and all this whole thing, to come out of that and to think about life in a little bit more deeper level, it requires some higher understanding inside. Parents are not able to provide that, and they didn't get it at the right time in life, so therefore their intelligence also got polluted with the education what they got from outside, and independently they are not able to think about it, so they got their life is also lost in that process. So Yellabasenija Karmopatam Vittam Dena Vinodaya Chittam. Ajari Swami says that, right? So so making a living in this world, but rather finding time for self-realization, that's a very difficult thing for majority of the people. And so you can imagine when Krishna is saying all these things, who will take serious note of it? Nobody. Krishna is saying, Indriyarteshu vairagyam, anahangaram evacha, janmam mrityu jaravyadi, dukkha doshanu darshanam, right? And because I have to live in this world, if I give all my time and energy just for working in this world, then there will be no time for spiritual understanding, salsangam, dhyanam, puja, japam, everything stops. Nothing happens, right? Sandhyavandanam, all those things, right? So, some time ago, some youngsters, right, they have gone into IT industry and they came from a Brahminical background also. They were doing, when they were small children, they were doing Sandhyavandanam. But over after going to education to the school, college, university and all that, they lost all that habit. And then they got through all these things, got jobs and professions, they are earning very well. Now they are feeling a vacuum in life that they didn't perform their Sandhyavandana. Sandhyavandana for the Brahmanas are important. So they approached one Brahmana and told them that we would like to, if you can organize a camp for us to how to do Sandhyavandana properly and teach us about that. So the Brahmana told them that, I can teach you all that, but you haven't got time for Sandhyavandana. Sandhyavandanam is to be performed at three different times in a day, morning, midday and the evening. You go to office at 8 o'clock and then you are in the office or factory wherever you are with your computer and the friend. Then lunchtime when you have to perform Sandhyavandanam, you are still on the computer. At the time when the sun is setting, you are supposed to do Sandhyavandanam, you are doing on the computer. Then you can't do Sandhyavandanam in the middle of the night when you come home. That's not the time for Sandhyavandanam. So don't waste your time, he said. This is the situation, right? This is our modern world where we are living. And we think everything is going very well for us, isn't it? So this is our ignorance inside. Yeah. So, and when he comes at 12 o'clock in the night, he's so tired, he has to sleep till 8 o'clock before he goes into the office again. So, so neither the Sandhyavandanam in the morning, nor in the middle of the day, nor in the evening will happen. So what's the point in learning all these things, right? But what is the remedy for this, right? Remedy is like this. Among these millions who are like that, caught up in this way, one or two may think about it and find some way to escape from that. That's the only way it can happen. You got to make people aware of all these things. You know, people don't think. Most of the people think that I'm earning very well. I have a good job. Family life is very good. My holidays are going very well. I will add some spiritual life to it. Why not? And made the whole thing, I'm very spiritual then. That's not how spiritual life is. Spiritual life doesn't work like that. That's all misunderstanding. This is an adjustment people are doing in their life. But Bhagavad Gita is not for those people. It doesn't work for them. Right? What Krishna is saying here that among them millions, thousands of them who are caught up in this kind of situation, those who have got the strength for that, courage inside, and who have got the desire for self-realization, they may come out from this trap. It's a big trap. You are talking about thousands of them, young people, young men, because only in that age you can do something spiritually. But when you have become completely trapped in the way, like the, with the job and the profession and whatever it is, what chance have they got, right? So, the employers doesn't care. They expect you to work. They'll give you more money and they'll make you to work. And you are trapped in that. That they want the money, so you will work for that for so many hours, right? So, this is the reason that people who are really in spiritual life are very few, genuinely looking for self-realization. It's very, very few. Majority of the people are in that category. And so, and but individually you have to realize the truth, right? So this, what Krishna is saying here, dukkha doshanu darshanam, right? Everyone, individually they have to think about their life and find their way through this and seeing the dosham in everything, right? So, if you have not found, realized this dosham, dukkha dosham, he says, that dosham, if you have not seen that, then you won't be able to stay in spiritual life fixed. You won't be able to stay in the spiritual fixed, right? So that's why in Vedanta they will say doshaika drak. That means able to see the dosham, the defect of our lifestyle, the way people are living, able to see the defect in that, right? Doshaika drak. Only if you become a doshaika drukha, able to see the defect of this modern civilization, only then what will happen is your mind will become inward looking. That's when that happens. Andariyam. Bahyam, andariyam. Bahyam means external. Andariyam means inward looking. So, andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam comes only at that point when one has seen the distress in this world and the trap he has fallen into, and this desire comes in him to escape from this, only then he will become inward looking, andarmukhatvam. And andarmukhatvam is the most important thing in spiritual life. Without this andarmukhatvam, all other things, you can make a big show out of everything, but that's all useless at the end. How to become free from the grip of this body? Body is holding us so tight, and this identification with the body is causing all the problems. Krishna is saying this, that janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam, that dukkha doshanu darshanam is necessary throughout life. Because if dukkha doshanu darshanam is strong in a person, he will become, andarmukhatvam will come to him. Naturally andarmukhatvam will come to him. You see, these are the things, the difference between the Rishi's approach and this modern world. Modern world cannot understand this. The Rishis are saying to us, their lifestyle and the way they cultivated knowledge was always on this principle, that outside world you can't do anything about it. No matter how hard you try to change this world, it's like the dog's tail. It will keep doing. It will only, and you will have to accept your prarabdham. So therefore, when the outside world is concerned, don't worry about it so much. The inside world, for that, tapasya. Tapasya is required for inner growth. For outside world is concerned, you can't do anything about it. That is prarabdham. Outside activity, outside life, leave it to prarabdham. inside life for spiritual advancement, self-realization. So those two things, that is what Krishna is saying about this dukkha dosha and darshanam. It's not point in just reading the line and understanding the meaning of that. Dukkha dosha and darshanam, oh, I understood what it means now. That's not how it is. Dukkha dosha and darshanam means how to develop that vairagyam inside from seeing the situation in this world and the trap we have fallen into. Although it's quite late in our life now, at least with this understanding that it is not possible to become free from this and develop that independence, to think, able to think independently, like Krishna is saying there, right? So the satyam, the truth has to be found inside. The truth has to be found inside, right? And so dosha darshanam, due to that, dosha drishtya mohur moho, again and again, this dosham of this world, dosha drishti or dosha drikha, you should see the problems of this world, and mind has to become, withdraw from the world and turn inwards, right? So, and that's what he's saying here. Able to stop the mind going into the world outside and able to turn inwards. That janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam, right? So Krishna spoke about, here we have spoken about the small things, right? Then the small things are this world, what is causing to us the problem. But the worst of all this is janma mrityu jara vyadi. That's how we have to understand Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is saying is that, first of all, you should see the world and the suffering of the world. And that should, you should learn in the Arthesha Vairagyam, controlling the senses, everything, and turn the attention inwards and prevent the mind going into the world too far, rather turn inwards. Those are necessary. And that you have to learn from the world. But more than that, Krishna is saying, ultimately, at the end of the day, he says, these four things, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, and that is a serious problem, he says. And you should get frightened thinking about it, that you have to come back here and take birth in another womb again, whether it's a human body or animal's body, we don't know what that may be, whatever it may be. So accepting another body itself, one should be frightened about it. And similarly, another death and old age and diseases, all that what we have lived through in this world. Krishna is saying, if you are not frightened about all these things, you are no good for spiritual life. That's the way Krishna sees that. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. He's saying that. Yeah. So, this is how spiritual life is. And without any of this understanding, simply doing, spiritual life is not going to work that way. Spiritual life is not all about doing things. Spiritual life is understanding the proper philosophical understanding, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. And then he says that, Bhartrihari mentions this, that he says, people in this world, they are very courageous, he is saying here, because they are not getting frightened about seeing all these things. Because there is so much ignorance inside. That's what it is. We are so ignorant that Bhartrihari says that they are not getting frightened seeing what is happening and getting and looking for a solution from that. Right? So, yeah. Some people are walking across a bridge on top of a river. There is two walls on either side of the bridge. And one person, he wants to walk on the wall, on top of the bridge, on top of the wall. He could fall into the river or he could fall into the road, right? So other people saw him and forcefully brought him down from there. Because this person has taken some alcohol also. That's why he's jumped on top of the wall. He wants to walk. And, you know, you get all that courage from that alcohol. that he wants to walk on toes. People do all sorts of nonsense like that, isn't it? So Bhartrihari is saying that he says that we are like that in this world. Intoxicated people, no brain to think anything about life, and simply carried away by the world outside, totally drawn into the world, and not able to think anymore further, that this is following them, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, these things, right? So, and he said that every day the sun rises, sun sets, right? And our lifespan is going away. It's just like he says, a big pot, earthen pot, there is water inside. It has got a small hole, through that the water keep dripping outside. In the same way, our life is in this world, right? And we have drunk this alcohol called avidya. And due to that, we are intoxicated and we are madly running around in this world. And he's saying that, where are they going to find a shanti in this lifestyle? Where will they find shanti, right? Where will they have some peace? So Krishna, in this verse, says, he only spoke about these four, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadhi, the major ones, right? But Mahatmas, great personalities, they have able to understand the significance of those four. We people, we have got so many things to get through. Like the world is trapped us in one way, with the work, money making, and all other things, and attachment to the body, which we are not willing to renounce in any way, and various things, we are trapped in one way. But more than that, more deeper than that, is this four, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, is saying that. Yeah? Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, he spoke about that. So, if you look at people who have been great personalities, Mahatmas, like Buddha, Siddhartha, right? Siddhartha's life, if you read about him, you will see these things. He was able to get affected, he was affected by that, yeah? He was very wealthy, coming from a royal family, prince he was, right? And wife got pregnant, and the child was born. And that child, his name was Rahula. That Rahul was the name given to the child. The child died afterwards, right? And Siddhartha saw the situation at home and he walked out from home. And there is conversation about Siddhartha, what happened at that time. He mentions there that Jara Vardhakyam. He was able to think at that age, in youth. So that shows that he had capacity to analyze life properly at an early age in life. Yeah, and he saw a dead body being carried. And he said that he realized that old age is there, death is there. And he also noticed a rishi who was not affected by all those things. Siddhartha observed that, right? And he analyzed himself and he says these things, right? And first he says that even though we have developed relationships in this world with the different people in different ways, right? Permanently you can't have any relationship with anybody. Nitya sambandha. Permanent relationship is not possible in this world, right? So what is the point in this relationship? This is what Siddhartha was asking. The same question Bharata asked to Ramachandra also. You know what Bharata said to Rama? Bharata said to Ramachandra that, you are my elder brother, right? How can I live alone in Ayodhya without you? You should come back. But Bharata went to bring Ramachandra back to Ayodhya. Ramachandra says to him, Bharata, what is the relationship between you and me? This is Ramachandra is asking Bharata, what's the relationship between you and me, right? And Bharata says, why do you say like that? You are my elder brother, aren't you? He says, so, and I have never had an elder brother like you who was so compassionate and kind to me, right? And you are telling me that you have no connection with me, he said, right? So Ramchandra gives the example. A river is flowing and a piece of wood is flowing. Another piece of wood or grass is flowing there. Sometimes in the flow, they come together. When the flow is changing, they also break and go away. That's our relationship. This was Ramchandra's answer to Bharata, right? So similarly in this world, when we get married, you think, oh, they'll all be forever, this relationship. And just like when the water current changed, the two pieces went in two different directions. That's all. It is up to that extent only all these relationships are. And afterwards, they never met each other again. It went in different directions, right? So Ramchandra says to Bharata, don't think about me and get distressed about it, right? I'm going to the forest, and what I'm going to do there, whether I will live there in the forest or not, you don't have to think about it and feel distressed about it, right? Think about yourself. Ramachandra says to Bharata, think about yourself, right? Atmanam anishochattvam kimapyam anishochati, he says, right? Why you worry about others so much, what's going to happen to them, right? Think about yourself and worry about yourself. Ramachandra blatantly told Bharata about this. So, this is, Mahatmas will say the truth. We, because of our attachment and our philosophy, avidya inside, we won't want to change. We will hold on to our own understanding. So, Krishna is saying all these things to make us aware that spiritual life is valuable and it's more real than the, don't get trapped in this material life to such an extent that you can't have a spiritual life. And take us out, that vairagyam was the goal. Because without vairagyam, Krishna said, this knowledge won't work. That's the problem. Spiritual knowledge won't be effective enough. It will not come to our shelter, or it won't benefit anyone if there is no vairagyam. In order that vairagyam has to come, one has to scrutinize life in this way, like Krishna has spoken about it. And that is why he is saying all these things, just for creating vairagyam inside us. Because without vairagyam, these thoughts won't come. You can hear, I'm not this body, I'm not this body, I can tell the whole world, but I will always be the body. Nothing will change. Yeah? Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha, he mentions the same thing. He went to America, right? He went to Japan first, from Japan he went to America. There is this Sacramento River, where he was lying down on the riverbank. He was so free person, right? So one American comes there and he says to him, why are you so lazy? Why do you bring your Asiatic laziness to USA? He said, you Asians are lazy, no? That's how the Americans think. They think that we all should be like them. So 24 hours, right? So he said to Ramatirtha, why have you brought your Asiatic laziness? Ramatirtha himself says this, right? So he says that, why don't you do something in this world? Why not show some pity to the world? This American asked Ramatirtha, right? So Ramatirtha tells him, his answer is, showing pity to the world, he says, is that business already overcrowded? This was his answer. So much misunderstanding about saving the world, improving the conditions of the world, and this has caught on into this world so much. Everybody wants to save everybody else. It has come to that, but completely on avidya, ignorance, right? So he says like this, that, and this compassion you are feeling for others, you should learn how first to show it to yourself first. This was Ramatirtha's reply, right? That business is already crowded, showing compassion to the world. There's plenty of people, organizations, and fundraising, hospitals, schools, all that business is going on plenty in the world outside. I don't want to go and become more crowded that business, right? Show pity to yourself, that is the first thing. and you have avidya inside, ajnanam inside, dvesham, kamam, krodham, asuya, and all these things, do you think you should be treated for that? All these problems what you have got. And in this way, with all your impurities in the heart, if you live in this world, and you are polluting this world more than anybody else, and you can see, if you look at it from a deeper level, that when you have a society which is full of ragadvesham and which is full of demoniac nature, what is it very comfortable to live in that society? What comes out of that, right? So that's what Ramasattva was saying here, that having a lots of people like you with so much ragadvesham inside, anger, greed, lust, everything, and if you have a big society with people like that, what good is there to live in that? If you go and do this the social service of trying to change the society in that way, all what will happen is you will get polluted by that. And first of all, you have to know what is the right thing, what's the best thing, right? So, you may speak Bhagavad Gita, but at the same time, if you have all the weaknesses and vasanas inside, and even though those words are from Bhagavad Gita, but because you have vasanas and all other weaknesses, it will have its poisonous effect on the words, what is spoken, right? So it is like the, he mentions there that it is like the homeopathy tablets, right? Homeopathy tablets all uses this saccharine to make it sweet, right? And they'll give you for diabetes, blood pressure, everything, right? Whether you have headache or fever, whatever it may be, right? So similarly, in these tablets, they do pour different things for different diseases, right? But looks all same, covered in saccharine, all looks like white, small balls-like thing, right? So what is thrown inside that tablets is important. And here, what he is saying is that this analysis of Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam, it has to be all the time in life, in one's inside. And one should see the truth as it is, and that the fear should develop inside. In other words, we have to show compassion to ourselves first, rather than showing compassion to others, right? And one should become frightened about life. And is there any solution to the problem? These thoughts must come inside. So, and this is what the approach the rishis have taught. Rishis are saying to us these things, right? Therefore, because they asked this question, the rishis, they did not destroy the nature, prakriti. Prakriti, they left it to prakriti, right? And they didn't destroy the prakriti, they didn't fight in the world with anybody, and they didn't conquer other places. They could have also done like many others have done, going around the world, conquering other places, bringing them under your control, and taking their resources and destroying their culture and life, everything. They didn't do that. Why? Because their way of thinking was like this, always, that we are trapped in a situation and the solution is not outside, solution is inside. So we have to think and come to that conclusion first, that the problem is not to be solved outside, it has to be solved inside. To come to that, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam, he says. So, because they are like that, they did not destroy the nature, they didn't do anything to the nature, and similarly, they didn't fight with the world, they didn't conquer other places. One person asked Vivekananda this question, right? Because the Western world, and the rest of the world, you can say, outside Bharat Bhumi, they think about Bharatiya Samskaram, Bharatiya's culture, in this way. They think that these people were never went outside, conquered other countries, and destroyed them, or attack them or change them, right? And so when they ask this question to Vivekananda, Vivekananda says to him, only savages conquer others, he said. Only barbarians conquer others. That's what his answer was, right? One who have shandi inside, one who have samskaram, culture inside, they don't go and attack others, he said. So, when you don't have, why do they do that? Because there is no shandi inside. That is creating the desire for conquering others. And they will continuously attack other countries, conquer other countries, other people. You can see the short-sightedness in all these things. People who are doing that, right? In his inside, they are not peaceful. They are disturbed. And that is why they have to conquer other countries. They have to have military bases all over the world. They have to have armies all over the world. They have to have the ships and submarines and helicopters and all these arrangements. For what? You are here and you can understand from that the Rishi's understanding of life and the understanding of the modern world. Is it not? You know what I'm saying. You read the news, you will get everything. What you, and then you can understand what Krishna, the Rishis are talking about. You got such a world we live about, these Chagos Islands, what they're fighting about. So many places, anywhere, this tendency that you have to control them. You have to be always keep others under your control. Otherwise you can't live in this world. This fear has come so strongly. That won't help for spiritual life. Impossible for them to understand what spiritual life is. Janmam mrityu jaravyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. So, in a situation like this, where is the question of shanti inside? Yeah. So, first, Damodartha told him, first you should treat your disease. You get cured first, and then you can worry about others' illnesses. So, that's what he was saying here, right? That's why these four things, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, if one is not frightened about that, he cannot have spiritual life. It's not possible. You have to feel that inside, the fearful feeling of fear about birth, about death, about old age, about disease, right? And once you have recognized the disease, then you have to think about the, you know what they call? Pathyam. Pathyam means that when you take some medicines, you have to follow certain rules, isn't it? You know, in Ayurveda it is very strong, pathyam. In allopathy, no pathyam. You can do what you want. So, Ayurveda is like that. They'll say that if you are taking these medicines, you have to follow these rules. That's called pathyam, right? They'll say sometimes, for example, you're not allowed to sleep during the day. For example, if you have massage of the oil, different Ayurvedic treatments, they'll tell you should not sleep during the day. Or in your diet, you are not allowed to have certain things like a lot of salt or sort of chilies and things like that. They are called pathyam, right? Restrictions, you can say, right? And what that pathyam is, that is the next verse. If you look at that, that asakti anabhishvangam. The comparison is very good. For medicine, when you are taking something, you need to have this pathyam. Pathyam means these restrictions, right? If they are not there, this sadhana also won't work. What he has spoken, it's not so simple as we think. When you read it, it's easy to remember the words, it's not difficult. And you can list them also and explain it also. But when it comes to practice, that's when you realize it. Krishna is saying here that asakti anabhishvanga, if you have these problems, this is pathyam. If you have these things in you, then this medicine won't work. Asakti anabhishvanga, putradhara grihadishu, nityanja samachittatvam, ishta anishtopapattishu, maijan anya yogena, bhakti avyabhicharini, vivikta desha sevitvam, aradhar jana samsadi. Those two are the pathyam. Right? And he says that this asakti anabhishvanga, that is the pathyam. You know what? Pathyam means, you understand what I'm saying. Pathyam means the restrictions. If you have these restrictions and then you do this sadhana, then it will work. But If you don't have this pathyam or these restrictions, and then if you do all the other sadhana, amanitvam, adambitvam, and indriyarteshu vairagyam, it won't work. Do you understand? Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shandirarjavam, acharyopasanam, shaujam, sairyam, almavinigraha, indriyarteshu vairagyam, anahangaram evaja, janmamrtyu, jaravyadi, dukkha doshana darshanam. If you want to practice it, and if you want to develop as a jnana sadhana process, if you want to do that, the restriction for that is asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samajitratvam ishta anishtopa patishu. It's essential that he's saying. So, sakti. Sakti means attachment, right? Asakti. So, asakti means non-attachment. Non-attachment, right? You have got all the things, but not attached to anybody. Not attached to anyone, right? And it is not possible to come out, jump out of this world easily on your own, right? And even if you change the dress to saffron, and or if you go and stay in an ashram, still attachment will be there inside, right? Because we are living in this world. So wherever you are living in this world, in whichever situation you may be, householder, brahmachari, sannyasi, whatever it may be, he says, realize what is actually holding you back to this world strongly, and there developed an asakti, no asakti there. Wherever that is keeping you very closely tied with this world, normally is home, family, friends, society, social relationships and things like that. In such things, for example, if what is happening in America, it does not bother. But somebody, what is happening very close to you, with whom you are very closely tied up with, and what happens to them affects you in that way. That is where asakti has to be taken notice of, he's saying here. So, asakti. So, it is not possible to abandon them, completely ignore them and leave them like that, right? But inside, the connection should be properly, it should be disconnected, inside connection, right? So, if you do that, that can be family members, or it could be the different things in this world, money, home, everything, right? Asakti, asakti. No sakti anywhere, right? And then, so that is asakti, anabhishvanga. Anabhishvanga means that in family life particularly, they are mine, my wife, my children, my whatever it may be, brothers, my sisters, and trying to influence them. Trying to influence them, right? And I insist that they should live according to my desire. That's the problem. If I start thinking like that, Krishna says that is a problem. Anabhishvangada. Anabhishvanga means, right? So, putradhara grihadishu. Normally it is towards your own children, your home, your wife or husband. Wife, right? So, people who are very close to you at home, and or sometimes people next door to your house, you want them to act in a way where you like it to be, right? And sometimes you are particular about your own family members, but not much worried about others. Let them live their life, right? Why is that? Because your attachment inside towards your own family members, therefore sakti is there, asakti is there, right? And others are concerned, it doesn't bother. They live their life, right? But my wife, my children, they should be comfortable. This deep attachment inside, this is the pathyam, what he's talking about, right? So, sometimes this family life can become very this Anabhishvangara can become very deep inside, and over years it gets very strong and difficult to. So jokingly people say like this, this jokingly, right? Somebody asked a man that, what will make you happy? He said, all I want in my life is I should be happy, my wife should be happy, and I also need one goldsmith, he said. Because the goldsmith will make nice jewelry, my wife will wear the jewelry, and she is happy, I am also happy. So this is how these relationships are. Mundane relationships are all like this. When you think about it, you can see it is totally meaningless, whole thing, right? So, Abhishvangara. So, this Abhishvangam is cause of this. Abhishvangam means this sticking nature, sticking to someone so closely and observing each other all the time, whether he's doing the right thing or I'm doing the right thing. And in this way, this has to go. This has to leave us, right? So, and also expecting from them something in return. So, if they are not doing things, you're not happy from them. Right, so these are all against spiritual life. For spiritual life, right? So, and then you start thinking they should also all become like you. All the people at home, all the people in the village, all the people in the country should all become spiritual. If you think like that, it won't happen. It's not going to happen, right? So, what normally happens is, if you start pushing too much in that direction, what Krishna will do is, he will teach us a lesson at that time, right? One thing we have to remember, that we cannot change somebody else's prarabdham. They have come like us in this world through their prarabdham, right? So, that is a kind of ahankaram inside, to make sure that others should comply with our way of thinking, our way of life. They will go their way, right? And when things happen like that, Krishna will say to us, right, this world does not belong to you. It's Krishna's world. Krishna sends them here. Krishna take them back from here, right? So even great personalities have suffered from this problem. Do you know about that? Mahatmas had to deal with this problem. Best example, Mahatma Gandhi. He tried his very best to make his children to think in his direction. They turned totally against him. They turned totally against him. You know, Mahatma's life is very interesting to learn. So many things. When Krishna is saying these things, and you start looking at their life, Mahatma Gandhi, because of his family relations, if you read that, children were not happy with Gandhi. They turned against him. Gandhiji was very renounced, detached. He had a deeper understanding of life, and he wanted to bring Karma Yoga into his field of politics. He was trying to do all that. His sons, Devadas Gandhi and all, they were not interested in that. Nor the grandchildren either. They all turned against Gandhiji. You can read in his own Satyanyashna Pariksha, you'll find all these things, right? So, Gandhiji tried very hard to bring them into the way of thinking. Simplicity, austerity, what Gandhiji was performing in his ashram in Sabarmati, he wanted them also to come and live there. They said, no, we don't want to live there. He said, they want to live in their house comfortably. They don't want all the spinning the wheel and making the cloth and all. They said, no. And all Gandhiji's ideas about non-violence, everything, they said, no. Nothing is possible for them. So you can see, when Krishna does like this, great personalities, they got knowledge, but moment you try to do these things, Krishna will make sure that it won't happen. He'll put in such a way the spanner, and all your plans will crumble and make you realize that you are not in control. That's the way it happens, right? And then he says here that Prabhupada's life, best example. Prabhupada tried very hard to bring all his children in the same way to think. Even the wife didn't agree. That was a mistake. You have to accept it. When you read these verses, you can see Prabhupada tried very hard. His wife was Radharani. And he was trying to bring her to his way of thinking, spiritual life, spirituality, and all other things. It is mentioned in the books also. But children didn't agree. They thought that he is not doing the right way. This ISKCON and other things came later in the life, is it not? Till the age of 70, when he lived in India, his personal life, if you read through the biography, what they've written, you read through that, you will see there what he had to go through in his personal life. Everybody turned against him. Wife turned against him. The in-laws turned against him. The children left home. The daughters also got married and went away. And he felt totally lost. Prabhupada felt it that time. He explains that. He says that. That's what, if you see the songs what he wrote, he mentions that all that remains now is a list of names, he says. You can see the famous sentence. All that remains now is a list of names. Wife, children, grandchildren, and son-in-law. All this list is there, he said. What connection do I have it? So that is the nature of Prakriti. Maya won't allow you to do that. You have to think about yourself and not to get carried away by all this asakti, what is developed inside, right? There are so many examples like that. Hiranyakashipu, right? Hiranyakashipu banned Krishna consciousness throughout his kingdom. Nobody was allowed to perform yagam, yajnam, homam. Everything was banned, is right. What did Krishna do? Krishna put Prahlada inside the house to solve the problem, right? And totally against the father. Totally against the father, right? So, and so people who are trying to change the world, improve the conditions of this world, they should think about this, right? That the situation at home will turn against them. Will turn against them, right? Socrates, you heard about his story, didn't you? What happened to him, right? That his wife was not very agreeable with Socrates. She will shout at him and sometimes yell at him very well, right? But he was such a person, he won't take anything seriously, right? So, and Socrates used to have so many disciples used to come to him. For Socrates was a very thoughtful person. And he has studied Upanishads and all. So he has a lot of knowledge collected from there. All the knowledge in the world has come from the Upanishads in different forms at different places. Jesus was taken from there. Anyway, this one particular day, Socrates was teaching his students. For 6 or 7 hours, he was continuously teaching. And whole time, wife was yelling at him. Because she is thinking that he's not doing any work, just busy talking about big things and not attending to the needs. So wife kept on abusing him, but Socrates didn't bother at all. And ultimately she could not tolerate anymore that he is ignoring her completely. So what did she do? She went and brought a large pot of water and poured the whole water on his head to show her unhappiness, right? And Socrates says at that time, every day it thunders, but it rained today, he says. This was his answer. This is Socrates. So, such a great personality. Aristotle, his disciple, isn't it? Famous Greek scholars, right? So, Socrates is saying, normally it thunders only, but today it has rained, he says. When she poured this water on his head, right? So to think that you can change others is a wrong understanding. It doesn't work like that, right? So instead of trying to give them and trying to force them to change others in that way, rather you should take into the knowledge and change yourself. More important than that, right? So there are so many interesting stories like this about different people. One Vedic scholar, right? Vedic scholar, right? And great devotee also, very committed to knowledge, studying Vedam and this knowledge is always cultivating this knowledge, right? And he was a great devotee as well. But his wife was a little bit eccentric. She will talk sometimes a little bit rude to him. Yeah. So, and this person also used to run a small Gurukulam. He had a few children in the Gurukulam. They used to come, right? And sometimes the wife, she was finding it a bit hard. And she will take a knife in the hand and come in front of them. And it will give you an impression that she's going to knife you, stab you with the knife, right? So, one day she came like that with the knife in the hand, right? A child who was in the Gurukulam, in that student group, has said this, what happened at that time. The Brahmana, who was the teacher, he is so much peaceful inside with this knowledge. So when she came with the knife, he recited Shyamala Dandakam words, glorifying her. Durga Devi has come in this form, addressing her, like that he glorified her. Right? And Durga Devim Sharanam Aham Prabhadye, I take your shelter, finishing those verses like that. Right? So, and offered obeisances to her after reciting this word. So calm and peaceful inside, not affected by anything. Right? So, immediately after this, that lady, she lost her anger. Finished with that. So Abhishvangam is that. That not attached to anybody, whether it's your wife or husband, not attached to anything. Right? So, normally if it was otherwise, if she has come with the knife, what would have happened? You can imagine the scene, how things would have happened. But that didn't happen. Because why? This Abhishvangada. Asakti and Abhishvanga. Abhishvangada is not there. Right? Abhishvangam was there, then there would have been a fight. But there's an Abhishvangada. That's what Krishna is saying. Asakti and Abhishvangada. An Abhishvangada is mostly related to family members. Asakti means to different things. It can happen outside. Tukaram's life, you look. All these Mahalvas, if you look into their life, you will find this. They had to go through. Tukaram's wife continuously used to yell at him, right? In different ways, but he was not bothered about that, right? I think her name was Avala or something, right? And he gives instructions to her, Abhangam, but nothing is going inside. So, when he told her that you should chant and gave her mantram to chant, right? And sotram to recite everything, she says, you can do all that, she said to him. Don't drag me into it, she said, right? I've got so many other things to do. I have to look after the cows. I have to milk them. And you can sit there and keep singing songs. I don't have the time for that, Tukaram's wife says to him, right? So, because she was there, Tukaram was able to execute his bhajans, right? And he remained as a grihastha till the end of his life. And wife was with him. Only thing is, wife will look after him. But wife was not happy, wife was not willing to do everything what Tukaram was doing. Tukaram said, you have to do the bhajana also. She said, don't tell me all that. You can do all that. In so many houses, this is the same situation, right? She was totally opposite, right? So, if she is not very agreeable, opposite nature like that, there won't develop much attachment. That's the benefit from that. In household life, if the nature is not too close, attachment there, then this attachment won't build up so strongly. Suppose if you love each other so much, and if you are so favorable to each other, then attachment will get very strong. It will become very difficult to come out of it. We are talking about ourselves, our own story. So, even if it's favorable, be careful. That's what Krishna is saying. So you have to study these verses and think a lot, put a lot of thoughts into it, and how this will affect our daily life. Only then you can say that Bhagavad Gita is benefiting you. Otherwise, to go to Morgan and Stanley and teaching those people there some Bhagavad Gita verses and telling them, this is useless, waste of time. Asakti anabhishwanga, putradhara grihadishu, nityanja. These verses are sadhana actually. Nityanja samachitratvam ishtanishtopapattishu, right? So this asakti anabhishwangada, this one should keep thinking about it all the time, throughout their life, right? One thing is that either they will go or you will have to go from this world. It's not a permanent arrangement. It's not. These relationships, husband and wife or family members, they're not permanent. They have been there for a short period of time in life. They come due to some prarabdham, they come in your life and dealt with them properly at the time. After that, what happens to them, it's not in your control. Asakti anabhishwanga, putra dhara grihadishu. These three things Krishna is saying, putra, dharam, griham. Right. So, either they will go or we will have to go from this world. And with that, that connection is over. Right? So, if something happens to us, they will feel the pain. Right? And when they get into trouble, we will feel the pain. Right? In this way, this attachment will create a lot of disturbances in life. Knowing that, you should deal with the people, right? So, asakti anabhishwanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu. That's where another problem. If something happens in life favorably, feeling very happy about it, or everything worked out very well according to the plan, right? And something unhappiness, what you didn't like, it happened, then you lose your balance of the mind. Samachittatvam, equality in the mind. Ishtam, anishtam, happiness or distress comes able to handle it with the balanced state, right? And that is what is called, Krishna calls it as that, samachittatvam, as yogam. He calls it as yogam, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, any incidents what is happening outside in the world should not disturb your inside, able to maintain that yoga state. And in that way, able to protect that yoga state inside, Krishna calls it as yoga karmasu kaushalam. What yoga means, as far as Krishna is concerned, that's what it is. That outside world is not disturbing your inner shanti, inner peace, in other words, right? So, yoga karmasu kaushalam kim, yogaha. What is kaushalam in karmam? Yogam, right? So, understand that word properly. Yoga karmasu kaushalam. That's a statement, right? Ajari Swamiji asking that question. Karmasu kaushalam kim? He's saying. What is karmasu kaushalam means? What? Karmasu kaushalam is yogam. That's how it has to understand that, right? Not that you are very expert in doing your karma, dexterous in karma, right? But while doing karma, not losing your yoga state is yoga karmasu kaushalam. Understand that? While doing the karma, not losing the yoga state is called yoga karmasu kaushalam. Not your expertise in doing the karma. Right? The effect, the result of the karma may be anything, good or bad, success or failure, whatever it may be. Your yoga state inside, the state of yoga inside, not losing that, that is karmasu kaushalam. That you, it's a very famous statement, yoga karmasu kaushalam, in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, whatever happens outside, it is not disturbing inside. This is all a practice of the jnana sadhana. So, if we have one or two verses more, which we'll discuss it tomorrow then. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.